This is the world of Command Dork McFag. A dirty tubal can, I do more man's a fag. The sex of men's are ass galore, if my wife is a whore, or so says the brag of McFag. On the asses of them kikes is McFag. The pixie tongue's ass to mouth, it does wag. With this pecker in his hand, it can come on any man, or so says the brag of McFag. Fucking and sucking and jubus and biting McFag does all is true. Yapping and crapping and cutting and blowing through McFag is a Jew. Doping and yapping with pecker and flapping and sticking to Timbuktu. Though shit does happen, McFag will keep yapping. McCandirk McFag comes through. This is the world of Commandirk McFag. A double tubal can I tube or man's a fag. He sucks of men's galore, if squaw wife is a whore, or so says the brag of McFag. This is the world of Command Dork McFag. A dirty tubal can I tube or man's a fag. McFag'll do anything if the brain says it's a king, or so says the brag of McFag.
Greetings, ogling, wigger, and mamzer ass clowns across the fruited, nutted Zog plain, in the open air, coast to coast nut house that we call Zog Babylon, the third and the final, but mainly to the found sheep of the house of Israel, ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye who did hear the call. Greetings. Now, tonight is the 10th of November, 2011, and tomorrow we're going to have an Elier James Mamzerthon, to where you have all the Jews and Mamzers outside the Finkelsteinese, of course, but they will be there as well. And if you have any Nimbusters in there, tonight I'm going to go ahead and propose that we have tomorrow a Nimbuster Dalek attack here on Elier's tomorrow on 11-11-11, which is not really a sacred day at all, any more than 9909 was, or 10-10-10, or 666 was. 06 was a couple years ago. What? Oh, 5 years ago. I remember 666 when I was locked up in the nut house, and essentially this evil bitch, Alicia, you know, nigger bitch Alicia Thompson, went ahead and, you know, upped my risperidol dose here, and essentially I was bitching about being illegally doped up to a nigger bitch. But anyway, tonight's show is entitled, No Matter How Delusional, Jews, Mamzers, and Zogbots Playing DSCI Know That They Are Evil. And where did you come up with this? And what I found out over the years is that, and especially last night. Now, last night, I was trolling Dan Johns, of course. I was essentially, Russ Walker is not dead, okay? Anyway, getting on with this sort of thing here. And by the way, guest number 6, behave yourself, okay? You can go ahead and say whatever you want, no matter how idiotic. But folks, I've had the last show, I had some tard go ahead and spam the forum here. And folks, let me go ahead and talk about Edgar Steele getting 50 years, which is a life sentence even if you were 20. You know, 3 score and 10. You know, being a white man, you're going to go ahead and live less long than if you were a free man, whereas niggers is exactly the opposite. A nigger who is locked up in the cage that he belongs in actually lives longer than a nigger out in the streets, because out in the streets, niggers run wild, and, whereas when they're in their proper cages, why, they actually live longer, because they have the white man, or even the Manser man, or the other nigger man, they have some structure in their lives, and essentially they're not allowed to have guns, or 40s, or whatever else here that goes ahead, you know, lots of pork at the time, which goes ahead and kills niggers when left to themselves, running wild without supervision and a master. But anyway, that 50 years is altogether bogus. And I'm going to go ahead and, of course, invite Mona Montgomery to go ahead and call in if she wants in about, about a half hour or so. But what this show is going to be about is that last night I was trolling Dan Johns. Dan Johns, the Jew boy, who went ahead and gave his son, Legal Mansler 2012 Johns, Crohn's. And, of course, Legal Mansler wasn't on there so much, but you had old Commandork McFag going ahead, and this time he wasn't Son of the Mist. He was Commander McBragg. And Dan Johns was bitching about his computer, you know, during the chat line. And, folks, I was, of course, looking at Survivor. I was going ahead. That's my favorite show. I study it for Wiggerology, to go ahead and learn, you know, how Jews and Mamzers and Wiggers interact, trying to go ahead and fuck each over for $1 million. I mean, folks, if you want to get a graduate degree in Wiggerology or Zogology or whatever, what's Survivor? Because essentially you go ahead and get to see feral, you know, natural Wiggers in their natural states fucking each other over for $1 million. You know, while talking about honor and integrity and, you know, being delusional. And I think this little pale character Cochran is, you know, he may look like a Wigger, but I think he's a Jew. And essentially he was screwing over, and then essentially they trusted him, and they kept the little Jew alive, because he was a weak character. They kept him alive, and he went ahead and turned on him, you know, the week before. And essentially he went ahead and, you know, gave us, you know, it was tied 6-6, and the little Jew turned and essentially sent one of this one tribe to Redemption Island, and then Ozzy got sent to Redemption Island. Then old Jim, another Anglo mestizo, got sent to Redemption Island. And essentially, all that's left is the Wiggers chicks here and of this particular tribe. So, what happens is they went ahead and nurtured the little Jew boy. They should have gone ahead and, you know, sent him home first because he's the weakest, both challenge-wise and camp-wise of the whole lot. They should have sent the little Harvard-educated Jew boy, you know, who's going to be a little Harvard lawyer or something. They should have sent the weak-peeling little Jew boy to Redemption Island first thing right off is what they should have done. But instead, they went ahead and kept this Jew along, so the Jew boy went ahead and screwed him over. And, folks, that's what you end up having when you have Jews in your organization. Now, this little whiny Jew boy named Cochran and, you know, on Survivor, he's just like the whiny Jew boy, he's like the whiny Jew boy, in Eli James and Finkelschini's, but especially Steve Elder. And Dan Johns went ahead and announced that his computer was freezing up, so he would be off, he would be out of chat for 5 minutes. And here I was, logging on, logging off, just going ahead every so often, listening to Survivor with one ear, having three computers going. And I had Toshiba number one, I had Compaq number one, and what happens is I had Toshiba number two, which is essentially a brand new computer because I nuked it. I nuked it back to its factory settings a week or so ago. And essentially I was using Toshiba number two to do the spamming, you know, do the trolling. And I found out about 4 days ago how to move bookmarks from on Firefox from Toshiba number one to Toshiba number two, which is just brand new. You'll load it up, and then on to Compaq number one. So essentially, here I was using the things in. And what did Steve Elder do? Steve Elder did a rather clever thing. He immediately... When essentially here, you know, here I'm about to go ahead and pounce, you know, hey, McFag, you have Crohn's, so does, you know, Dan Johns, he's a carrier of Crohn's, Legal Mansler 2012, they all got Jew ass case, ha! You know, laugh my head off. What McBragg immediately did is he immediately spammed the chat and overwhelmed Toshiba number one and Compaq number one. He immediately overwhelmed them. And as a result, here I am with the newer computer, Toshiba number two. And essentially, I have a choice as to whether to keep on spamming myself, you know, keep on trolling myself, or to go ahead and try to save, because essentially here you have them
going down here. You know what I mean? So, what to do? What to do?
And the answer of it is as a result, I went ahead and it got altogether overwhelmed on Toshiba number one and Compaq number one, so I lost the chat. But McBragg ended up actually doing the smart thing. He ended up essentially, well, pretty well screwing it up. And he didn't go ahead and hesitate. Now, most of the time, McBragg is delusional. He's a delusional Jew boy pretending to be, he's not pretending to be a pict anymore, a proud pict anymore, but, he's just a lying, dirty Jew boy. Not exactly pure Jew, but enough Jew here. And the thing about it is that he has been rather, that's how I've known him found out about the clones here, because Haley was trying to help legal man in 2012 when it got revealed that him and legal man in 2012 Johns had clones. Jew Asgates, a Jew genetic disease. And in any case, it's been revealed that, hey, McBragg is a Jew. But what he did is that most of the time he's delusional. Now he's talking about how he has $300,000 music trees. He has a bunch of maples on his place or something like that. And from what I gather, the character says three or four things. From what I gather, he's just a hardcore unemployable who hasn't been employed for 2 years. The character's a nutcase. I mean, even Harold Covington said the guy was eccentric. When Harold Covington says that someone's eccentric, you've got to go ahead and understand that eccentric is not in terms of normal white people. Eccentric in terms of our wonderful bowel movement is you're talking about a nutball's nutball. But the thing about it is that McBragg did exactly the right thing. And sometimes I don't think I would have been that smart here. McBragg went ahead and spammed the crap out of the chat room and essentially screwed things up. In any case, you behave yourself, okay? So, let's see. Well, I don't know if Zisser's on here. But essentially, if Siegfried went ahead and found it, I mean, Siegfried was one of the people I definitely did not want to have the show. So then the question of it is that will this show be taken down? And the answer is, I don't know. I don't know. You see, when these people are not able to go ahead and find out, I mean, the people who listen to the show is about a third of movement people. A third, or really about 40 or 50% are Jews and Zogbots wanting to find out what's going on in the movement. And the rest are just, what the hell's going on here? And whether or not they like it, they like it. If they don't, they don't. I don't worry about people liking or not liking it, okay? So, getting on, maybe one third former Neo movement people. Yeah, you might be right about that. But in any case, you end up having, in this wonderful bowel movement of ours, you have real nuts here. And essentially, if Harold Covington thinks that Steve Elder is, if he thinks he is eccentric, that means that, shoot, in real life, he's nutty as hell. But what he did is Steve Elder did the smart thing. And he went ahead and he spammed the crap. Bam, the living dog shit out of Dan John's show and pretty well did the right thing. Now, folks, it's still on TalkShoe Chat Fetcher, but essentially made it to where I would have to work real hard to go ahead. And what happens is that he did it to go ahead and essentially save Dan John's show from being essentially picked apart, by hostile little old me. He did exactly the right thing here. So, I've been going ahead and, along with Hale Covington's yesterday show, which was dated yesterday for the 9th here for Memorial Day or Martyrs Day. And, by the way, Steve Elder has gone ahead, among others of his aliases, imitated this Felix Alferth here, who was one of the ones who died during Hitler's 1923 abortive coup.
in Munich Beer Hall in 1923. And somebody went ahead, I was looking over in Covington's, why it was 88 years ago, yesterday, that this coup which went ahead and got crushed, got put down, and put Adolf Hitler in jail, it's been 88 years ago. But what got me is that here's Alex Sally, she's bitching that some targe has found out her name and they're yapping shit and, you know, using her real name and give her a hard time. And folks, that's not a very nice thing to do here against an actual movement activist here. And I'm not interested in learning Axis Sally's real name. I'm sure April Gady would like to know, because April Gady is jealous as hell of Axis Sally here. Why? She's a torture queen and doubtless has, well, firmer tits and a tighter pussy than old April Gady does. But in any case, you know, folks, if you end up going ahead and dealing with bowel movement, you know, people, you're going to go ahead and end up with some, you know, bad case of phlebitis is what you're going to end up with. You're going to end up with a bad case of mange if you go ahead and don't keep these people at, you know, at length here. But the reason got me is that when it came down to it, Steve Elder knew. When it came down to it, you know, in his interactions with other people, Dan Johns, 2012, he had Crohn's, and he went ahead and gave up old Steve Elder. Command Dork McFag is having Crohn's too. And what happens, even when I'm listening on Dan Johns, Steve Elder is a lot nicer to his fellow Jew boys than most Wiggers are to the fellow Wiggers. He knew I was listening on, he went ahead and told Dan Johns to tell his son not to use this particular disease or drug for Crohn's disease. Even knew I was looking at. So, folks, in some cases, Steve Elder does have some good actions, because what he did is that for his fellow Jews, he cares more for his fellow Jews than most Wiggers care for their fellow Wiggers. And he did exactly the right thing. So most of the time, Steve Elder goes ahead and he lives in delusion that he's a white man, that he's a Scottish, or he's a proud pick, what have you. He's Christian identity, Jews are spawn of Satan. Just like Brian Rio lives in a delusional world. Just like Eli James lives in a delusional world. Just like Bill Fink, Judas the Juiced, Jeremy Visser. They all live in a delusional world, but when it comes down to it, they know what they are. They know that they're Mamzers. They know that they're Jews. They know that they're this, or they know that they're that here. And the reason you can go ahead and tell they know what they are is because they censor a genuine white man like myself going ahead and saying, you're not what you pretend to be. Never was, never were what you pretend to be. And so even the most delusional Jew or Zogbot like Morse Gallet here, he's just like Traitor Glenn Miller. He knows that, you know, he knows he's a traitor. He knows that he's going ahead and sending people to prison. And he doesn't have the strength to go ahead and admit that he's evil. But deep down inside, he knows who he is. And that's why he's got to go ahead and hide what he is. And he knows that it's wrong. He knows when it comes down to it is that being a Jew, he's not allowed in the congregation. But yet he's trying to get into it. Being a Mamzer, like, you know, Jeremy Visser and Anglo Mestizo Truett, he knows he's a Mamzer. He's not allowed to be in it, though. He knows, even if he's a Wigger, Zogbot, like J.T. Reddy or Morse Gallet, or an Anglo Mestizo traitor, like Traitor Glenn Miller. They know that it's wrong to go ahead and bring people and send them to jail, send them to prison, but yet they do it anyway. So what happens is that they put among themselves strong delusions that they're something other than what they are, but they do, deep down, know that they are what they are. And so they tried to hide it. They tried to hide their nose. They tried to hide their bloody anal spore from the Crohn's, Jew assgaves. They tried to go ahead and hide it, but they can't for somebody who has, quote, discernment. So how do they, you know, why do they get by with this? And the answer is they get by with it because of Wiggers. They get by because Wiggers allow them to go ahead and get by with it here. a lot of the complaints about me is pretty well the cry of these parasites. Said, how come Winstead just can't behave himself? Why must Winstead go and scream against me? And the answer of it is that I know what I am as well as know what you are. In short, I act the way I act because I am what I am, just as you act the way you do because you are what you are. Well, folks, you get by with this shit. If you're a Mamzer, you're a Jew, you're a Zogbuck, you get by with it because of stupid Uyghurs. Stupid Uyghurs who essentially cannot and will not behave. You don't know how to go ahead and behave. Well, it looks like we got quite a few Nimbusters. Some of them are Uyghurs, some of them Mamzer, some of them are Jews. And essentially, they all sort of know. They're all playing a game. But essentially, they know what they are in many cases. And what happens, the only critters that don't know who they are, the white man knows who he is when he's racially aware. Jew knows who he is even when he's lying. And Jew is always lying when he's opening his mouth. The Mamzer, when he's pretending to be a white man, he's lying. But he knows who he is. The only people who don't know who they are is Uyghurs. They don't know who the hell they are. They've been given a whole bunch of faulty programming which doesn't make any freaking sense and which is going to go ahead and kill them. You see, the programming is supposed to be good for the robot. It's supposed to be good for the machine. But essentially, Zog programming is to go ahead and destroy the Uyghur and make the Uyghur stupid and make the Uyghur believe stupid shit so that the Uyghur will go ahead upon believing this stupid shit and acting according to this program will die. And the end result of this is going to be, well, it's going to be this great tribulation because as more and more, more and more this country goes non-white and even non-Uyghur, well, there's not going to be any saving it. So anyway, what do we have is we have a Uyghur problem. And that's going to go ahead and bring me up to the intro to the show. And folks, I guess this will be Section A or Alpha or Section 1 of the Movement Tour. So we're going to go ahead and take a short break. And play the actual, theme song of this show, because essentially there's a format to the show. And the format is initially a quickie of 2 minutes or less, but then we go ahead and have Section A or Section 1, where we go ahead and talk about the Uyghur program, and then at the very end we play the Florian Geyer, which will be the solution to the Uyghur problem. So, folks, let's just go ahead and get this show on the road. Hail victory.
Yes, I admit we got a Uyghur problem. Uyghur's always on my mind. The way they run to and fro. Stupid Uyghurs you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Uyghur problem. Build a drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro. And they're always eating crop. I wake up and right away. Stupid Uyghurs come to mind. The way they run to and fro. Stupid Uyghurs you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Uyghur problem. Uyghurs always on my mind. The way they run to and fro. Stupid Uyghurs you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Uyghur problem. Build the drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro. And they're always eating crop. Uyghurs keep remembering how good God used to be. Being kind long stone. Our freedom's memory. Yes, I admit we got a wicked problem. Wicked's always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, the wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Feel the drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating crop. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating crop.
All right, folks, we're back. It looks like Mona Montgomery is no longer in. I did go ahead and get the first show. It was the one of last month. And, folks, I'm not quite sure what to do about Halloween. I was going to go ahead and do some Eli James stuff here. But tomorrow is 11-11-11, which, well, in the overall scheme of things, it's not a holy day. 11-11-11 is not a holy day at all. It's just a calendar event because it goes ahead and sounds. Now, Eli James, he will go ahead and do this sort of stupid crap, and what I intend to do tomorrow is, and by the way, I'm going to go ahead and invite all you nimtards, nimbusters, to go ahead and be my daily spamming, you know, be my daily spammers. And folks, do not spam McFag did. Don't go ahead and spam it, but you could go ahead and say, why does Eli James look so much like a Chicago Sephardic Jew? And folks, go ahead and say a number of things. And as a result, let's just go ahead and have some fun, some good heckling fun, for those of you nimtards who can go ahead and do it. Tomorrow, on Eli James's talk show thing, he's going to go ahead and have Anglo Mestizo Truett. He's going to have Jeremy the Pisser Possum do it. He's going to go ahead and, of course, have himself. And he's going to go ahead and spread it out, I guess, among at least two of his three talk show shows. So tomorrow, it is going to be Spammer's Paradise. I got all four computers ready, willing, and able. And essentially, I don't know what Finkelstein will be doing. But, folks, I mean, chances are it's time to go ahead and piss on old Eliar's parade. And you are going to have quite a few of the wandering, of what I call the wandering mamsers of Wikipedia, Talks Jew, Christianity. Go over there, you grab some Finkelsteinies. Because essentially they can't mask their pretend CI fix here. Even though they know they're mamsers, even though they're right, self-righteous as can be, essentially you can go ahead and beat them over the head and they will take a licking and they will keep on ticking. So folks, by all means, go ahead and have a little bit of fun with Eliars tomorrow. I will. And in any case, I'm going to go ahead and cover the next thing. It's going to be Edgar Steele's Yesterday. Yesterday was the 88th anniversary of what Harold Covington called Martyr's Day. And it's the 88th anniversary of to where essentially Adolf Hitler tried to mount what was called the Beer Hall Putsch, which meant a coup in German. The coup to where he was going to go ahead and try to take over Bavaria. But, and 88 years ago, it was put down and 15 or 16 people died in it. Ludendorff was there with Adolf Hitler, and Adolf Hitler survived it. He got in prison for a year and a half over at Landsberg, penitentiary. I mean, I'm surprised if he had done this thing today. Essentially, he'd been, given essentially a life sentence, just like Finkelstein has. But I'm taking this over from VNNF here. And you have this little, critter. He's with Hatting, the meerkat, sort of with Moner, named Don Polly. And, well, the answer is that the nations meant Gentiles. Someone went ahead and asked about Paul. The nations meant Gentiles. Essentially the Greeks. The Greeks, Galatians, in fact, the Galatians. You had at Troy, you had people who were descended from Judah. You had people who were descended from Dan. You had people at Troy, which went ahead and, came up with Brutus, who founded not only Rome, but also founded, the island of Britannia. See, in the island of Britannia, you had these Neolithic dark people who became the Wheelos, and then later on, you have what's called the Celtic culture. Now, folks, you have a problem in that the Celtic culture was initially just not a race. It didn't define a race. It defined it a, quote, culture that appeared approximately 5,000 B.C. And you have these swords. You have this stuff at the Hallstatt. It's called the Hallstatt, named after a lake where essentially these, blonde, blue-eyed people, fair people, went ahead, and somehow the Cro-Magnon people sort of seemed to have disappeared around, 7,000 years ago, which is what the Septuagint pretty well states is the time of Adam. And I believe, and this is not Christian identity, holy writ, but I do believe that the Adamites, that the sons and daughters of Adam went ahead and married into the Cro-Magnons. And essentially because they were Adamites, they were given. I don't believe Adam was the first white man. I believe he was the first white man with a soul who Yahweh went ahead and created special and breathed into his nostrils and made him become a living soul. So Adam was not the first white man. He was the first white man with a soul. And I believe that essentially these Cro-Magnons were interbred with the children of Adam. And as a result, they ended up having souls as well. And so nowadays, just like way back in the time of Moses, 3,400 years ago, just as back then you ended up having some Edomites who were genetically pure because they were from Esau's third marriage to his third wife, the daughter of Ishmael, Basemar, or whatever her name was. And so after three generations, the Edomite could go ahead and get back into the house of Israel. Well, by the time of Jesus Christ, there were no white Edomites left. They were all Canaanite Edomites. Well, just like by the time of some time past 5,000, you end up having to where there's no Cro-Magnons left here. They're all Adamites, okay? And these Celts went ahead and intermarried with these dark people, called, who's now the Welsh here, and the term Welsh came from the Saxons, who were after. Essentially, you had these Celts which went ahead, and even at the time of Julius Caesar, getting away from Julius Caesar, called the Belgae, went ahead and became the Brigantes, became a number of people, and went as far north as southwest Scotland, became known as the Strathclyders. And you had these Celts. Now, essentially, Celt didn't mean a particular race of people. It meant a particular culture. But guess what? The culture was produced by these fair people. And essentially, in the original British Isles, you ended up having some rather dark people. And you had some of them who were Amorites, who were sent there by Cain Sargon to go ahead and take the strategic mineral tin in order to go ahead mix it with copper to produce bronze. Britain used to be known as the Tin Islands. They had the strategic mineral. So, folks, you've always had, for the past 7,000 years, you've had Jews and Aryans living together. Now, Jews will go ahead and say, well, how do you know you're white? How do you know you're pure white? And the answer of it is that if there are no pure whites, then there's really no point in me going ahead and talking because there's no remnant. If there's no remnant, then hey, let what's going to happen, what is now on the verge of happening, let it happen. Why should Jesus Christ come back if there's no remnant? But Jesus Christ will come back. That means, you know, to save the remnant. So that means there is a remnant. And I am talking to the remnant, okay? Now, about a week or so ago, I went ahead and essentially somebody was asking me about John 8:44, and I explained that you have to go ahead and read the first couple paragraphs before that to where you had these Pharisees, you know, and for every fight that Jesus Christ had with the Sadducees, who were the actual descendants of the Levites, the high priests, for every fight that Jesus Christ had with the Sadducees, he ended up having probably 66 with the Pharisees. These Sadducees essentially didn't much care for Jesus Christ because, well, what they were the Levites who actually were supposed to go ahead and do the sacrifices. They were the descendants of the Levites. And at that time, you had these Pharisees. Now, Saul was a Pharisee. And he was a Pharisee's hatchet man. He went ahead and murdered Stephen. Judicially murdered Stephen. You read in about the first couple chapters of Acts. And he was taught to be a Pharisee. He was a big stickler for the law. As these people who had no business pretend to be religious leaders because they were not bred to it. They were not the Levites. And you've got to understand is that Jesus Christ was the ultimate sacrifice. But under the law of Moses, you had these sacrifices for sin, for essentially doing in your day-to-day life, to go ahead and worship Yahweh. If you couldn't afford a bullock, then you would go ahead and give a sheep. If you couldn't afford a sheep, you'd go ahead and give a turtle dove. If you couldn't afford a turtle dove, you would give a measure or something, a ground grain. But in any case, the whole purpose of it was the sacrifice was to go ahead and take to essentially atone for the misdeeds that you did. Not major misdeeds, but the ordinary misdeeds that you commit simply by being alive, not being perfect. Well, Jesus Christ came up with a new covenant to where, guess what? You still obey the law, but the sacrifice has been overdue because there's no greater sacrifice than Jesus Christ. And so, getting on to it, is that these Edomites were mainly the Pharisees. They were not the Sadducees. They couldn't be the Sadducees because, guess what? They were Edomites. There were these people who, stupidly, the Maccabees, went ahead and conquered. Then the end result is once they conquered them, you end up having some really evil Edomites. And the most vicious and evil of the lot was Herod the Great. He is such an evil piece of shit that Caesar Augustus used him as a puppet kingdom, but he says, hey, Herod's killing his family like crazy. It's a whole lot safer to be Herod's pig than it is to be Herod's kid or son. Which was quite true here, because Herod essentially, there's really nothing to go ahead and keep him, because he's not really under any law. Herod could have gone ahead for all practical purposes as much bacon as he wanted. In fact, Eli James, Bill Fink, Steve Elder, really for all practical purposes, being Jews, being descended from Canaan, being descended from Ham, being descended from Cain, why shouldn't they go ahead and eat as much pork as they want? Instead, what they're doing is they're pretending to be something that they're not. And that was the whole purpose of the Pharisaical law. And like I explained, is that they went ahead and told Jesus Christ, well, we are of Abraham's seed. Never were we imprisoned. And did Jesus Christ say, well, you're liars? Well, he did say they were liars, but it came in a few chapters. He acknowledged that, yes, as being descended from Esau, they were indeed Abraham's seed. Because Esau was the son of Isaac, and Isaac was Abraham's son. Therefore, Esau, just like Jacob Israel, who became Israel, were of the seed of Abraham. Heirs to this promise. What you go ahead and read is that even in the womb there was fighting and strife between Esau and Jacob. And essentially, Jacob meant supplanter. It sort of went ahead and implied a sort of dodgy feel to old Jacob. I mean, essentially, Jacob's name went ahead and got turned to Israel, which meant, I think, prince. A whole lot better name than being called supplanter. I mean, you know, how would you like to be named Sneaky? How would you like to be named Underhanded? Underhanded Sneak. You know, that's a heck of a name to be given you. Okay? But, you know, what happens to these Gentiles? You know, the Mycenaeans. Achilles. Achilles was descended from, the Trojans were descended from a tribe of Judah. The Spartans, some of them were descended from the Danites, some of them were descended from, you know, the ruling house was descended from the second son, you know, the second white son, Zerah. You know, there were Perizzites who were essentially born first, and the Zerahites, why, they end up becoming the Ulstermen, just like in Ireland. You had the Tuatha Dé Danann, which were these Danites. And an Ulster, you know, with the red hand, you know, with the string around his hand, that meant that they were descended from Zerah, who were not the ruling house because, well, Perez was born first, even though Zerah stuck his hand out of the womb, of Tamar's womb, first here. And then had a little red string tied around it. So just like in ancient Greece, and then later on you had this, you know, Greek Dark Age here, which lasted 400 years. And so these Greeks, these Galatians, for example, these Galatians were Israelites who had enough, Adamite Israelites, who had enough of the Hittites, had enough of these dirty Jews, and they went ahead and scattered these Hittites from around the area of central Turkey, what's now Turkey. And went ahead and scattered them here, so that's where the Khazars come from. They essentially were Hittites. They essentially were Jews. Okay? So, as a result, you've had Jews and Adamites and Abrahamites living together. And they've always hated one another. They've always hated another. Way back 1200 B.C., with a Galatian, let's say a Galatian like me. And then going ahead, not liking, you know, Steve Elder, not liking Dan Johns, not liking Eli James, not liking Finkelshiny, and essentially go ahead and, you know, kill off as many of these Hittites and scatter them out and not finish doing the job. Now, someone like me would finish doing the job. So these Edomites, they were of Abraham's seed. And that's why I was trying to explain to old Peterless Goodmanser. Peterless, I think, is essentially, he's a Jew whose father was a Jew, not his mother. And like I've been trying to explain, there's a difference between a Jew whose daddy was a Jew as opposed to a Jew whose mother was a Jew. And I'd like to go ahead, I mean, most of you people don't know it, but by a decade or so, there were these two Jews. One was Franklin Wayne Poley, whose father was a Jew, and the other was Yair Davidi, whose mother was a Jew. And essentially, these two Jews hated one another. Now, Franklin Wayne Poney was sort of like June Stain over at Stumbling. Essentially, he's sort of like a Whigger drone, but vicious, you know, sort of got a mean streak. And the critter knows he's a Jew, and essentially, he has some good, you know, he has some good traits here. But, you know, folks, as opposed to Yair Davidi, I remember way back in 1998, here comes Yair Davidi from Herbert Armstrong's British Israelite Church. You know, just like David Hines was a Jew who got into British Israelitism and essentially was trying to pretend that Judah, you know, the Jews were Judah. Well, here's Yair Davidi trying to go ahead and pull this sort of crap. And Willie Martin not being a hard ass was sort of going ahead and buying it. I said, look, don't give me this crap about how in the last days Ephraim and Judah, you know, Ephraim was essentially the head tribe of the Israelites. He was the youngest son, but he had the biggest birthright of the two. Between Ephraim and Manasseh, they were brothers, but Ephraim was the younger one, but he got the biggest birthright instead of Manasseh did. But essentially, the Ephraimites, you know, this is the way you get come up with this Ephraim scepter horse shit. Essentially, when Yahweh decided to go ahead and prize off, you know, okay, I'll get around to it here, do a current news here, but essentially I'm going to go ahead and I'm coming to this thing about Jews. I mean, essentially, this show is mainly about Jew infiltration and stupid Whiggers allowing this sort of stupid shit. So this show is mainly about Jews. Jews and Christian identity, Jews and white nationalism. And where these Jews come from. Anyway, these Jews have always been among us and always causing trouble among us. And there is a difference, I mean, in case of Steve Elder. And this is what comes down to it. Steve Elder, on many levels, realizes he's a Jew, but he's pretending to be a white man. Dan Johns, another Jew, pretend to be a white man. Eli James, another Jew, pretend to be a white man. William Fink, another Jew, pretend to be a white man. Essentially nothing but wall-to-wall Jews. And you have some amateurs like, you know, Jeremy Visser. I mean, Brian Wright, who sometimes some people say is Siegfried, you know. Another Jew with clones, pretend to be a white man. Yapping shit here. Pretend to be something he's not. Going ahead and showing a picture of a fat, you know, of a Aryan-looking motorcycle character here over on Visser's. You have Jews. But there's a difference between usually a Jew whose father is a Jew and who creates a Jew drone and a Jew whose mother is a Jew. And essentially, a Jew whose mother is a Jew is the most vicious, evil type of Jew. In fact, that's why you end up having esterichiasis. Is they've got to go ahead and be sort of pretty in order to go ahead and get that Aryan input in order to go ahead and stabilize the Jew input here. Folks, if you end up having too much Jew, especially in the male, what it'll do is that's the reason you end up having clones. I mean, all this Jew, all this spawn of Satan ichor creates a situation to where literally a Jew's asshole is rising up in irritation and rebellion against this Jew asshole master. You know what I mean? And that's what you end up having with McBrag. That's what you end up having with Dan Johns' kid. You know what I mean? Dan Johns, essentially, people figure out he's a Jew. And what happens is that in 2005, August Christ and old Bradley Jenkins, who used to be Morris Gillette's cokehead buddy, went in wanting to beat Dan Johns' ass here, and then they have another Jew, Eli James, who, for all his faults, at least had some bravery, and sort of got these two, you know, Whiggers, these two Whigger ass clowns not to go ahead and beat Dan Johns' ass. So, essentially that's what this movement's about, is Jews and Mamzers pretending to be white. But essentially these Jews know who they are. Dan Johns, when it comes down to it, he's able to go ahead and detect, as a guest, me making fun of it. Far more, I have seen a person pretend to be a nigger go on and get on and, you know, do stupid nigger shit for about an hour or so, and they won't go ahead and block that nigger. Or have a Jew, you know, pretend to be a Jew, and they won't block that Jew, but shoot, they go ahead and listen to me going ahead and making fun of the Jew boy. Hey, get detected, and that's why I have to go ahead and flash troll. And that's why Steve Elder did what he did. But folks, someone was asking about News Guy. News Guy, I think, is a Jew whose daddy was a Jew. He's not as vicious as a full-fledged Jew, and there's a difference between a critter whose Jew was a mother. Old Franklin Wayne Poley was somewhat of a vicious Jew, but he wasn't, you know, he was fascinated by white people. He understood that, you know, as a Jew, he lives off of white people, and essentially he would be, in many cases, polite. But a Jew? No. Okay, guest number 12, you've had your say here. Well, he is a Tubal-Kenite Pictish Mamzer. You don't know what a Tubal-Kenite is. You know, a Tubal-Kenite is a descendant of Tubal-Cain. A Pict is a form of Jew. Okay? Anyway, guest number 12. Well, I mean, hey, you get to say whatever the hell you want to. All right? Oh, Breaking Bad is no longer working there here. Well, the thing about it is, his name is Peter, you know, Peter Goodman. And folks, I mean, you know, to my belief here, old Peerless Goodman's is a Jew. Okay? He's not, you know, he's not Halachic Jew. He's a lot any more than Jewstein is. But yeah, the critter sort of knows he's a Jew, and he doesn't want to go ahead and say something here. But when it comes down to it, a Jew does know it's a Jew. It doesn't matter how much it wants to fool itself. It doesn't matter how much it wants to go ahead and pretend here. Usually your average Jew, sometime around the age of 14, 15, 16, wakes up in some cases, and he says, "Oh, shit, I'm a Jew. What am I going to do about it? What am I going to do about it?" Now, in case of, you know, Eli James, case of Dan Johns, in the case of Steve Elder, well, what you'll try to do is you'll try to go ahead and deny the fact you are what you are, that you're a vessel of wrath, as opposed to a vessel of mercy, as mentioned in Romans chapter 9. You'll go ahead and try to deny what you are. But folks, it's apparent what you are. You're not fooling anybody. Okay? So, anyway, the Daleks of Souls. The Daleks is something from Doctor Who here. Daleks is a science fiction term, not a religious term. Okay. No, by the way, Pastor Master of Cunts is not Martin Lindstedt. Pastor Master of Cunts or somebody has been going ahead and telling what the freaking link to the show is and keeping it in here. Okay? Okay. So, folks, you Daleks here, well, hey, have fun tomorrow on Eli James' show. Don't spam his show. I mean, I'm going to be trying to go ahead and say the chat. I'm going to be trying to go ahead and say a number of mean things. And, folks, what you might do is you might go ahead and create you a whole bunch of little talk-to aliases for when, you know, Eli James, I think he's going to end up doing it, or he's going to give up here. See, Eli James is as far, you know, I mean, he's still vicious. I mean, him and Brian Reel went ahead and took down my webpage. Him and Brian Reel have been, you know, snitching out to the FBI, the Secret Service, about me and Pastor John Britton. And speaking of Pastor John Britton, he can't get on the show because, hey, Brian Reel and Eli James caused him a lot of trouble on his lawsuit. That's why he's never going to be on the show, more than likely. And he was talking to me the other day, why do you do these shows? And the answer of it is I do these shows so that people can go ahead and hear somebody who is Aryan, someone who is white, tell them to essentially don't go ahead and join a militia. Don't go ahead and play any particular game. What you do is you work on saving your own life is what you work on doing. That's what you work on doing. You save your very own life. What you do is you get in right with Yahweh. Then you go ahead and make sure your family is provided for. Folks, I do. You know, I am not talking about overthrowing Zog or overthrowing the government. By the way, number 19, I don't really mind you going ahead and recording this show. Okay? Matt Smith. I'm not quite sure who Matt Smith is here. Is it wrong to play Farmville? I don't know why it would be. Martin trolls Nimbusters. The answer is that no, Martin does not troll Nimbusters. See, Nimbusters doesn't pretend to be a Christian identity or actually a movement, you know, thing here. Nimbusters are so much, what happens you have with Nimbusters, you have not so much Jew control. You don't have any control over anything. But, you know, let me go ahead and get to where I'll say it here. Is that among Jews, you might have a Jew who goes ahead and he wakes up at the age of 14, 15, 16. He wakes up and he figures out, oh, fuck, I'm a Jew. I'm a dirty Hebe. And what happens is that even if he doesn't know he's a Hebe, in some cases he ends up having Crohn's, sort of like Cain, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6, 6, or Ixabert. Ixabert's just a thoroughly nasty kike here. Cain, some cases, you know, Cain over on Stumbling. I don't know if you guys know who he is, you know, who he is or anything like that. But Cain realizes he's a fucked up little Jew boy. And some cases, you go ahead and look at his interaction with Wiggers over on the Beer Barrel, over on the rest here. In some cases, he is spot on here. Some of these people pretend to be white nationalists we'll call her Star or Hitler Hoggist over on the NNS and Four Fag Phoebes. He went and says she's just nothing more than just a post whore. Just goes and posts a bunch of stupid shit. Someone like April Gady. I mean, just a total stupid wigress who essentially is just nothing more than just a slut who wants to go ahead and be a total attention whore who cannot work together with anybody at all, and you can't go ahead and trust because essentially if she thinks that you are getting far more attention than she's going to go ahead and turn on you. I mean, I had the same thing with Sci-Fi Faber. Sci-Fi Faber, from my gather, was not a mamzer, was not a Jew, but he's a total retard, a self-serving retard who essentially went ahead and turned on me along with Jeremy Visser in June of 2008. No, 2009. And so I'm glad he went in and turned on me, you know, before, you know, he was a big friend of Hal Turner's. So is Jeremy Visser. You know, essentially, going ahead and being denounced by, you know, an Aryan Nations retard like Sci-Fi Faber and Jeremy Visser. You know, of course, Visser went ahead and turned on Sci-Fi Faber. So, folks, I mean, hey, it's probably for the best that I got denounced by old Sci-Fi Faber, you know, just before, you know, Hal Turner got, well, essentially arrested by the feds here. He'd already been arrested once for shit in Connecticut. And by the way, Hal Turner went ahead and beat the Connecticut shit. And by the way, I think Hal Turner should be able to go ahead and beat the shit against him on the federal level because he is no different than, say, Bill White. And I think it's quite possible that once Hal Turner manages to go ahead and get, you know, goes ahead and holds tough here, why he might go ahead and get out. Now, folks, Hal Turner was one hell of a showman. There's a few people who like being on the Hal Turner show. Now, the thing about it is Hal Turner might very well be a part, you know, part Jew Mamzer here. You know what I mean? He might very well be a part Jew Mamzer. You know, he certainly acted like a thieving, worthless piece of shit wigger. But, you know, folks, I've listened to Hal Turner shows, and Hal Turner was quite the showman. Now, of course, looking back on it, you know, I listened to a show here, like, here it is, Saturday morning, he says, unless he gets $17,500 in, by Monday morning, and he's only got $300 for the entire month here, and, you know, he's going to have to go ahead and close down. He won't have no money. And then, the Monday podcast, well, here he is talking, not saying a damn thing about, well, how the hell did he manage to go ahead and make up $17,500 in a day and a half when all he got was $300 for the rest of the month previous? He doesn't say a damn thing about it. Well, we all know what the deal is. It's sort of like old Spurfront and Don Black. Essentially, we're going to go ahead and be done unless you go ahead and give me money. When all the time, you know, just like VNNF, essentially Zog is paying for Spermfront and VNNF, and they're paying for Hal Turner. All Hal Turner was doing was bitching because he wanted to go ahead and scoop off the freaking top what the tard sent him. And the thing about it is, in our bowel movement, most of the people don't have any money. Folks, if you end up, you know, I mean, several times I've gone ahead, you know, and I've given to a few people this calling card that's cost me 3 cents a minute to go ahead and call in on my show. So, folks, what happens? These Jews, in some cases, they wake up at the age of, what, 15, 16, 17. They realize they're Jews. And the question is what are you going to do with it here? And they sort of understand that they're damned. But in some cases, just like this Jew who went ahead and told showed Martin Luther the copy of Talmud, which went ahead and supposedly that Jew was supposed to be sentenced to death for going ahead, because Martin Luther went ahead and read the part about how Christians like having sex with animals, Christians are worse than animals, Jesus Christ was the son of a of a whore named Miriam and a nigger Roman centurion named Panthera, and how he's burning in hell forever and ever, you know, covered with either shit or semen, boiling shit or boiling semen. Martin Luther read that. He didn't much care for it, and as a result, he went ahead and wrote a book, you know, a little pamphlet called Concerning the Jews and Their Lies. And essentially said, okay, these dirty Jews, they whine and whine and whine about how they're mistreated by Christians. What you ought to do is you ought to burn their synagogues, you ought to burn their houses, and you ought to send them dirty Jew boys to work. And essentially, that's what Adolf Hitler. Before I talk about the Holocaust here, I mean, essentially, the Holocaust was horseshit here. You know, I mean, 300,000 to maybe 450,000 Jews did die in the Holocaust. But essentially the Germans just wanted to make the worthless bastards work here. And for all practical purposes, Adolf Hitler wanted to get Jews out of the country. And so for the Zionist Jews, he set up this guy named Adolf Eichmann, who some people say was part Jew. And essentially, that guy was supposed to go ahead and cause the British heart, you know, a headache, just like Menachem Begin and the rest. You know, Menachem Begin was initially imprisoned by Joseph Stalin, but he got sent to Palestine to cause trouble for the British. In 1943, he was taken out of a concentration camp, and that's what he said in his book, The Revolt. He was sent to cause trouble. Well, guess what? Hitler wanted to do the same thing. Hey, what happens is, the British went ahead and betrayed, you know, the Jews went ahead and betrayed in turn for the Balfour Declaration to let these Jews, these Ashkenazi Jews, go ahead and go to Jerusalem next year in Jerusalem. Well, guess what? We'll go ahead and send the Zionist Jews to Jerusalem. And the non-Zionist Jews, well, hey, they're still Jews. We'll go ahead, since I beat the dog shit out of France, and they supposedly used to own Madagascar, a big old island off the coast of Africa. We'll send the non-Zionist Jews to Madagascar, and we will send the Zionist Jews to Palestine. And Adolf Eichmann was working on that stuff. So, hey, after the war, when they're trying to go ahead and come up with their horseshit, what they do is they kidnap Eichmann, and they put him in a glass case so they can't hear anything he says. They don't even show the cameras, you know, on him. So essentially, you know, Eichmann could go ahead and scream, hey, I love you, Jews! I'm part Jew! I'm a Jew! I tried to do my best to send you to Palestine! And essentially, they went ahead and judicially murdered him. But Adolf Eichmann, when he came down to it, I think Eichmann knew he was a Jew. And here he is being betrayed by other Jews. So what is a Jew to do? In the case of Eli James, he's trying to go ahead and change Christian identity into there are such things as good Jews, and some good Jews can be saved here. And we'll go ahead and muddy it between Mamzers and hybrids and all this sort of thing. And Finkelschini, who essentially, if you have any part non-white blood, you can't go ahead and join, even though you have Brian Rio, unless, you know, like you have a bunch of other Mamzers. And they act like they're fooling somebody. And here you have Steve Elder, who essentially, when it comes down to it, he comes across some little Jew boy with Crohn's. And he comes across and he tries to go ahead and help that Jew boy with Crohn's. At the same time, he's pretending to be, is that I'm one of the 144,000. Steve Elder, McBragg, you know, Steve Schwartz, Steve Schultz, whatever the hell his name is. And folks, I'm getting closer and closer and closer. I'm getting closer and closer and closer to finding out exactly who he is. I mean, essentially, from what I gather, all I have to do is just send an email pretending that I want a flag or something. And folks, essentially, I'll go ahead and find the real name that he does use. You know what I mean? Oh, I would like a tricolor flag. And what happens is that, hey, you know, can I go ahead and send you a check or a money order? I don't want to send cash to the mail. Who do I make the money order out to? Well, I guess old McFag, you know, his flag making efforts will go ahead and tell me what his real name is. Yep. So, in any case, but Steve Elder, in many ways, does know he's a Jew. Eli James knows he's a Jew. And that's why tomorrow initially what you're going to do is you're going to have, and let me just go ahead and predict here, is that, you know, Eli James, being a nicer Jew, won't know what to do here. Initially, he's going to go ahead and censor. He's going to go ahead and censor some of you guests. He's going to go ahead and close up you guests. And sooner or later, he'll pull Brian Rio or Dan Johns, and then the next minute, he's going to figure out what's the point of that. And then he's going to stop censoring. That's exactly what Eli James is going to do tomorrow. So, folks, get your spamming caps on, and tomorrow, let's have some fun. So, anyway, I'm going to go ahead and take another break. Hail Victory, and then I'm going to go ahead and cover Edgar Steele.
Whatever you say, say nothing. When you talk about you know what, or if you know who should hear, you know what you'll get. It'll take you off, you know where, you wouldn't know how long. So for you know who's sake, don't let anyone hear you sing it. Whatever you say, say nothing. When you talk about you know what, or if you know who should hear, you know what you'll get. It'll take you off, you know where, you wouldn't know how long. So for you know who's sake, don't let anyone hear you singing this song. You all know what I'm speaking of when I mention you know what. And I fear it's very dangerous to even mention that. For the other ones are always near, although you may not see. And if anyone asks who told you that, please don't mention me. Whatever you say, say nothing. When you talk about you know what, or if you know who should hear, you know what you'll get. It'll take you off, you know where, you wouldn't know how long. So for you know who's sake, don't let anyone hear you singing this song. You all know who I'm speaking of when I mention you know who. Or if you know who should hear you, you know what he do. So if you don't see me again, you'll know why I'm away. And if anyone asks you where I've gone, here's what you must say. Whatever you say, say nothing. When you talk about you know what, or if you know who should hear you, you know what you'll get. Well, they'll take you off, you know where, but you wouldn't know how long. So for you know who's sake, don't let anyone hear you singing this song. Well, that's enough about so-and-so, not to mention such-and-such. And it better end that song, I've already said too much. For the less you see and the less you hear, the less you'll go astray. And the less you think and the less you do, the more you'll hear them say. Oh, whatever you say, say nothing. When you talk about it, you know what. But if you know who say, you know what you'll get. Well, they'll take you off, you know where, but you wouldn't know how long. So for you know who's sake, don't let anyone hear you singing that song. And whatever you say, say nothing. When you talk about you know what. For if you know who should hear you, you know what you'll get. They'll take you off, you know where, but you wouldn't know how long. So for you know who's sake, don't let anyone hear you singing this song. Whatever you say, say nothing. When you talk about it, you know what. But if you know who's sake, you know what you'll get. They'll take you off, you know where, but you won't know how long. So for you know who's sake, don't let anyone hear you singing this song. For you know who's sake, don't let anyone hear you singing this song.
Okay, folks, I probably should have wired, you know, rather than go ahead and talk, I got about an hour's worth of audio down, 21 minutes and 39 minutes means about an hour, a little bit over, and then with songs, we'll go ahead and be a little bit more. Okay, folks, I'm going to go ahead, and it's a pity that Mona Montgomery, she was here earlier, and all she had to say was she was glad that Edgar Steele got 50 years. Now, I don't know why in the world she should feel that way, but then again, I mean, it's more like a feel. I mean, you know, hey, Mona just doesn't like Edgar Steele. I think Mona is obsessed with Edgar Steele. It's sort of like a, it's sort of like a, oh, it's, what the heck do you call it? a fatal attraction sort of thing. And, folks, I mean, I've gone ahead and looked at what Edgar Steele and his wife were trying to do here. And essentially they're, I think, in many cases, wasting, you know, pretty well wasting their time or something like that. Zog's going to do whatever the hell Zog wanted to do. If you go ahead and try to find rhyme or reason in what Zog does, you are wasting your time. But you have this, at, you know, on number 116 from 3 days ago, you have this Don E. Pauley, who essentially turned on Edgar Steele when Edgar Steele chose somebody other than Don E. Pauley to represent him. Rob Magnuson or something like that here. And I think it was on the 9th of November to where essentially they said, you know, if you go ahead and let me go ahead and put this thing back up here. Because I want to go ahead and talk about Edgar Steele. Okay. Oh, Time Lord, if you want to call in, 417-472-6901. That way we'll go ahead and get it recorded. Okay. Who cares about Linderville? Well, I guess nobody here. Anyway, Colonel, you know, had one more secret. Well, I don't know what that secret was. I'm not going to go ahead and really look here. Colonel Sanders really isn't, part of the bowel movement here. He went ahead and made a lot of niggers happy. But let's go ahead and look. Steele sentenced to 50 years, bizarre courtroom behavior from him and his wife. Federal prosecutors have sentenced a North Idaho attorney convicted of being a hitman to 50 years in prison for the failed plot. Well, folks, prosecutors did indeed sentence him here. Essentially, the judge was nothing more than a federal prostitutor. Edgar Steele, 65, will also serve 3 years of supervised release and pay a total of $2,836.91 to the State of Idaho Military Division, Quick Lube, and Cindy Steele. In a sentencing hearing Wednesday, Steele told the court via statement he was framed and is a victim. She called the proposed sentence a death sentence. Steele even dared the judge to make a 1,000-year sentence. In court, Edgar and Cindy accused FBI agents, the judges, and prosecutors of lying and judicial misconduct. Both were aiming directly at Assistant U.S. Attorney Tracy Whelan. So after an hour and 15 minutes, the judge made Steele conclude. Steele was defiant to the end, saying, "I refuse to recognize the authority of this court. Cameras are not allowed in federal court," but he said, "I'm a political prisoner being persecuted for my views." His wife, Cindy, who he is accused of trying to kill, addressed the court as well. She supports her husband and blasted the court, lawyers, the FBI, and the statement continued for 30 minutes till a judge ordered her to stop. The judge also directed Cindy Steele to stop making personal attacks. The poor judge! Cindy called you a name! A jury convicted Steele in May of hiring his neighbor, Larry Fagfax, to kill his wife and mother-in-law. As of June 2010, a pipe bomb was discovered under her car by crews at an oil change before it could go off. Fairfax later confessed to the crime. Before you say Fairfax acted as a informant for the FBI during Steele's trial and reached a plea bargain deal to serve only 27 months in prison. The government sentencing memorandum says Steele was heartless to plan the murder of his wife and depraved and manipulating a financially desperate neighbor to commit the crime. Steele, Sagal, Idaho, was also sentenced for using interstate commerce facilities, commission of murder for hire, use of explosive material to commit a federal felony, possession of a destructive device in relation to a crime of violence, and tampering with a victim. In short, tampering with the alleged victim, who essentially said she wasn't a victim. Essentially, she said she was a victim of the FBI and Larry Fairfax. All this stuff is just crap.
Mr. Steele represents a clear danger to society, and today's sentence assumes that he will no longer pose a threat to our community and residents, said Supervisor Senior Resident Agent Don Robinson, supervisor for the Cordell Lane Office of the FBI and the North Idaho Violent Crime Task Force. Steele has already denied a request for a new trial. He says he'll now try to appeal. It's unclear where Steele will serve his 50-year prison sentence. Folks, I go ahead and I look at this stupid crap. I look at this lying crap. And since you've got to go ahead and understand that, essentially, like Frank Wigger says, Zog will prosecute whoever they want, whenever they want. They don't have any evidence, they'll manufacture it. Folks, Felix Dzerzhinsky knew exactly what to do with people like this here. Essentially, he understood that essentially the purpose of the courts is to do pretty well whatever the regime wants to do. And so as a result, what he would do is he would go ahead and round up, well, the local pigs around 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, torture them until they went ahead and confessed, and then he'd go ahead and throw these criminals in irons to the mob of people that they'd gone ahead and screwed over, and then send their families to a death camp. And over 19 months, he went ahead and exterminated about 250,000 of the czarist, criminal, stupid, corrupt regime, and essentially made it to where there was no going back. And folks, I go ahead and say that's exactly what's going to end up happening in this Great Tribulation, but it's going to be far different than, say, even an Iron Felix or, you know, Lenin's day, because essentially what's going to end up having, instead of just maybe 1% of the regime criminals, the depraved regime criminals, essentially I'm thinking that more like 99% of the population will end up dead before it's all said and done. Well, maybe a little bit, you know, less than 99%, but at least better than 90% of the remaining Whiggers. I think that there's probably going to be far less than even 10 million remaining ex-Whiggers alive. And what you end up having in this society is you end up having to where Whiggers essentially do whatever the hell they want to do. So what is the CI line with torture? And the answer of it is that torture and Christian identity, I mean, essentially what we are talking about is that essentially Yahweh does not really care one way or the other as to how the Great Tribulation comes about here. You got to understand is that essentially Yahweh isn't telling us to go ahead and do this sort of thing. Yahweh is just simply telling us to go ahead and get out from under what the hell is going to happen. So in many cases, this quote torture that people are going ahead and saying they're put to my door, essentially this is only when we end up having power. And what you go ahead and see in Christianity is that that's not going to be the way it ends up happening. What you're going to have is you're going to have a great tribulation to where essentially people die, not in organized torture or anything like that. They're simply going to go ahead and die as things fall apart and there's no food. There's no clean water. There's nothing necessary to go ahead and have even a 1800 style of living. Essentially, you're going to end up having starving mobs of Uyghurs and niggers and Jews and the rest here wandering around because there's no safe place. There's no place to go ahead and be safe. There's no place to go ahead and live. And the only way you can go ahead and do something is that I'm not telling you to go ahead and rise up and kill pigs. I'm not telling you to go ahead and skin alive judges. I'm just simply saying is that, folks, there's nothing wrong with whenever these criminals come into your power of going ahead and dealing with them harshly. Yahweh essentially doesn't micromanage any revolution. Essentially, he's not micromanaging this Great Tribulation, which I think is well on the way. I think that later on, looking back, essentially, they'll be saying that essentially the collapse, you know, probably looking back,
you know, upon history, they'll probably say that the Great Tribulation started probably on September 11th, 2011. They're going to go ahead and say, you know, because, well, you know, during the AD 400s, Rome got sacked for the first time in AD 10, but most people say that the Roman Empire fell in 476 when essentially this German kingmaker, this German chieftain, went ahead and deposed his little puppet, Romulus Augustus, who was, what, all of 2 or 4 years old, went ahead and deposed him and said, we're not going to have any more Roman Empire, we're not going to have any more Roman emperors. Essentially, here I am, a German barbarian, I'm going to go ahead and rule as the king. I'm not going to rule as an emperor, I'm not going to go ahead and create a somewhat puppet to go ahead and do my bidding. Now, folks, for essentially, what, 50 years, you know, for at least the last 25, you know, under Stilicho and the rest of these people, you end up having these propped up little, well, these little figureheads. And that's pretty well what you have, you know, today in Zog. You know, you had George Bush, Dumbia, for 10 years. Essentially, he was ruled by the Jews. And he had, you know, he started a number of wars and screwed them up. And, well, you know, this nigger. You know, folks, you know, like Secret Service said, is that, folks, I don't have nothing personal against the stupid nigger. In fact, really, I sort of like the stupid nigger because, essentially, I think that it's his job to go ahead and screw up whatever's left here. And, essentially, the nigger ought to worry about his little Jew handlers who might go ahead and try to make him into a little JFK. And the reason I went ahead and talked to these Secret Service agents, Brian Rio, and you know, James sicked on me, and said, hey, look, folks, I'm not scared of you bastards. I don't like you. I despise you. But I'm not out to go ahead and shoot, you know, the nigger. I'm not out to go ahead and shoot any federal judges. I'm not out to go ahead and actually do a bunch of this stuff. Essentially, what I'm trying to do is to tell white people that's perfectly acceptable morally to go ahead and do in your worthless Uyghur relatives, to go ahead and when Zog falls apart to exterminate the pigs, the judges, the lawyers, all these regime criminals. Essentially, they're parasites. And it's perfectly acceptable morally to do whatever the hell you have to do in order to go ahead and get your freedom. And some of it is, you know, proactive, but most of it is really reactive. And what I'm asking folks to do, essentially, don't go ahead and join a militia, don't go ahead and join a, you know, so-called white supremacist gang or anything like that. I'm advising you to simply, first of all, get it right with Yahweh, second of all, to go ahead and take care of your family, and third of all, worry about your local community. There is not a single thing you can do about the District of Congoids corruption. There's not a single thing you can do with, you know, what's going on in your state capital. Heck, there's not really a single thing you can really do about what's going on in your county seat. Criminals will be criminals. And essentially, in many cases, you know, so that, you know, I mean, Zog is scared shitless of what is coming up. It's scared shitless of the chaos that is coming up. Essentially, what happens is that Greece has fallen apart. Now you have Italy, the what they say the world's seventh largest economy. It's pretty well just gone past the point of no return to where you had this WAPA prime minister who'd been a long-time politician, essentially saying he's going to go ahead and quit, that he can't go ahead and fix the mess that he made of it. So, folks, in any case, with, you know, folks, I'm not actually going ahead and inciting any revolutionary violence. I'm simply saying that it is inevitable. Now, insofar as what you need to do working in your own community to go ahead and deal with the pigs, to deal with the lawyers, to deal with the crooked, you know, regime criminals. Folks, these people are parasites. These people are criminals. And folks, nobody, people are the only ones who go ahead and allow a dangerous organism you know, parasitic, you know, organism to go ahead and live among them. Why even, you know, animals, they try to go ahead and eat whatever plant they can in order to go ahead and purge themselves of these parasites. Folks, sooner or later, we are going to go ahead and purge ourselves of these parasites. But the problem of it is not just a few parasites. Essentially, in your own family, you'll end up having your own parasites. I have my own brother and sister who essentially are thieves and traitors. Essentially, my brother. You know, he went ahead and betrayed my father. I still wonder if he didn't go ahead and call the law, you know, which went ahead and sent my dad to prison. And, you know, folks, I mean, I've had him say is that he wished that the government sent me to prison on trumped up charges for life so that he could do whatever the hell he wanted to do. That's the quality of my brother and that's the quality of my sister. Essentially, they're just nothing more than traitors. And, folks, it's sort of hard to go ahead and have any pity because you know that they were not trained that way, but yet they became that way. So how to go ahead and explain evil in the world? Is it because they're Jews? And the answer is no. Is it because they're Mamzers? The answer is no. Is it because they're Uyghurs who you cannot trust? And the answer is yes. Everybody, you know, it seems like everybody in the family here has somebody who essentially has taken part in the Babylonian programming, the Zog Babylonian programming. Essentially, they support Zog Babylon. Yes, they'll whine like a pussy when Zog goes ahead and tries to screw them, but folks, you can't go ahead and trust yourself among these people. So what should you do? And the answer is that you should go ahead and look out and look for people. Hopefully they'll be part of your own family and turn them from being Uyghurs to being white men. And folks, Uyghurs are not going to go ahead and make it. There may be only a couple million people left here, but essentially that's why the Great Tribulation is going to go ahead and save our race, to save Yahweh's servant nation. The reason it's going to do that is that eventually, when things fall apart, if it's Yahweh's will, you will go ahead and survive. I'm just simply advising you to put your hand on the scale by making sure that you yourself are right with Yahweh and that you've gone ahead and prepared for what's coming up. I mean, I'm not talking about saving lots and lots and lots of silver. Edgar Steele went ahead and saved lots and lots and lots of silver. All it did was bring a thief at his door, i.e. Larry Fairfax. Right? So, gay client. Okay, I'm sort of looking at this here. Danny the Punk, a man who wanted to be raped. Anyway. you know, guest number 12, I don't think you like me here. But anyway, here you have something that doesn't make any sense, and you had a bunch of Uyghurs who went ahead and convicted Edgar Steele. And they didn't care. They just went ahead and sided with the government. What should happen to them? And the answer is, what happens to any degenerate population when they go ahead and side with a mighty evil empire which is falling apart? You see, at its prime, Rome had over 1 million inhabitants. Let's say you had about 1,200,000 inhabitants. Offhand. During the Dark Ages, during the height of the Dark Ages, or the depths of the Dark Ages, supposedly had only about 12,000 people in it. Only had, what, 1 out of less than 100, really more like 1 out of 1,000, of its former inhabitants, of its inhabitants at its height, went ahead and was able to live at steps here. 999 of the population of Rome went from being able to go ahead and support 1,200,000 inhabitants to being able to support 12,000. What we're talking about is carrying capacity of the land, be it where you go ahead and look where that land can go ahead and support so many cattle, And then if you have any more cattle, the rest of them will go ahead and eat everything that's out, and there won't be anything, and they'll all starve to death. That's what you end up having on this globe, on this planet here. 7 billion people, supposedly. Well, folks, as things are going now here, you see this carrying capacity to where, guess what? It seems like economically not able to go ahead and support even white people anymore. Not able to support the nigger. Not able to support the beaner. You see right now to where they're not able to go ahead and support anybody. So what's going to be the end result? The end result is that once you end up having far more than, you know, than any society or any government is able to carry, you're going to see a great die-off. And in this die-off, you're going to go ahead and see torture, you're going to see murder, you're going to see famine, you know, pestilence, disease. And I like Finkelschini. I don't believe that is Gaius Marasola, Julius Caesar, and Mark Antony. I believe the four horsemen of the apocalypse, like it says, are famine, war, pestilence, death. That's what the four horsemen are.
Anyway,
so what Edgar Steele does, and I'm going to go ahead and look at, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and look at, essentially Edgar Steele blamed the FBI. The judge and the prosecutors are lying in judicial misconduct, and that's exactly what they're guilty of. And you have this Don Pauly whining about this here. Idaho lawyer gets 50 years in wife's murder plot. Folks, if you had a decent jury or something like that, you would simply go ahead and explain this, that, hey, if the wife doesn't believe that she was, you know, murdered, then who has, you know, the ultimate jurisdiction? And the answer is that essentially his wife was being used simply as somebody to go ahead and claim that here she was trying to murder. And they, you know, the government went ahead and made up this entire thing here. So here you have this guy, Ed Fairfax. You know. You come up with it, so, you know, he wanted to win death so he could collect an uninsured motorist insurance policy and be free to pursue with a woman from Ukraine, prosecutors said. And they paid $10,000 in silver. He's going to go ahead and kill his wife and mother-in-law. Well, folks, this is just shit that's made up here. You know what I mean? Now, Edgar Steele made a number of, you know, problems here. Steele thought he could get away with murder because he believed his clean record and long career as an attorney would allow him to escape suspicion. And essentially, you know, Steele's wife went ahead and dominated the sentence hearing. And here they were, they were whining because they included personal attacks on court employees here. So they're going on with this sort of thing about, you know, how he used to be the Aryan Nations lawyer. Okay. Goes in, you know, on the Spokane paper here, spokesman.com, Spokesman Review. Protesting his innocence and blaming a vast government conspiracy, self-described attorney for the damned, Edgar Steele, was sentenced Wednesday to 50 years in federal prison for a foiled murder-for-hit plot that targeted his wife and mother-in-law with a car bomb. An hour-and-a-half rant before U.S. District Judge Lynn Windmill in Cordial Lane, Steele called the case a conspiracy by the federal government, anti-hate groups, and the Russian mafia to silence him for his political views and legal work. I, too, am a victim. My entire family is a victim. In fact, all of American society is a victim. In this case, it's Steele, 66, who defended Aryan Nations founder Richard Butler in the 2000 landmark civil case that bankrupted the racist group. He also authored a book, Defense of Racism, and wrote essays on a website, Conspiracy Pen Pal, from his home near Shepherd Lake, southeast of Sandpoint. I am not delusional. I am a well-educated professional with a long history, track record of honesty. Steele said, wearing a gray sweatsuit and orange jail pants. He vowed to continue fighting to prove his innocence. If I finally have to fire every lawyer in the country and hire myself, I'll do it, Steele said. Well, folks, I went ahead and looked at his, he had about an hour interview in four parts, and here he is showing this law library. Essentially, all it had was just the Idaho, court records here. It didn't have anything there, same thing, ends up happening in Missouri. In jail, all they do is have an old ancient copy of the revised statutes of Missouri. They don't have any, legal law library. They don't have anything. They don't have any way for you to go ahead and represent yourself. And it was because I wanted to represent myself that I was sent up to a nut house. It was because, essentially, I'd possibly be an unruly defendant. And that's what gets me, is that of all these people who have been gone, sent to prison or whatever, been convicted or something like that, I've been the most defiant of all these people here. I've shown nothing but contempt for these people. And, folks, I do believe that, if they can go ahead and destroy your family by going ahead and get one of your little kids to testify against yourself, I don't see anything wrong, morally wrong, or certainly not legally wrong, with going ahead and grabbing the children of regime criminals and torturing their children to testify against their parents and grandparents and the rest here. Folks, this regime likes pretending that torture is not torture when they do it, but it's evil, it's Nazi, it's communist, it's this and it's that when essentially some other regime does it. Now, folks, if it's torture when somebody else does it, it's torture when you do it. And unlike, what myself did is that how I ended up getting free was essentially demanding to be my own attorney and demanding to represent myself and demanding access to a law library. And folks, in this country, essentially they make the lawyers make the taxpayers pay for a county law library. The prosecutors, the lawyers, the defense here, nowadays they no longer really have very many books. The books are just simply used as a backdrop. In fact, most lawyers don't even know how to read books. They don't really know how to do legal research. Essentially, all they are is just a bunch of lawyers. They go ahead and buy these books to go ahead and frame their office. But hey, I mean, paper law libraries here. I mean, shoot, if I'd not been in jail in 2005 when I got thrown in jail, Jasper County went ahead and sold all its law books for $25 because they wanted to go ahead and go with LexisNexis. And that's exactly what the hell they did. And pretty well, these West Publishing Company has pretty well taken over. Very much taken over, essentially, writing the reviews here. The Supreme Court review, reports is what? Oh, several years behind? Essentially, West Law Library has gone ahead and has been caught giving, expensive junkets here about 20 years ago to the U.S. Supreme Court. Essentially, to go ahead and, control the law libraries. That's exactly what the hell they've done here. What I've tried to go ahead and show is that essentially you end up having just a corrupt regime run by Jews and Shabbos Quigger criminals. That's what Zog Babylon is. And it's out to go ahead and destroy Yahweh's servant nation. And since it's gone ahead and done such a good job of turning people into Quiggers, turning people into cowards, turning people into idiots, essentially, there is no going ahead and saving things here. Now, Harold Covington was talking about, do any of these niggers or Jews stop to think about what's going to happen when the last white man is over and done with? And the answer is, your Jew doesn't care. He's not programmed because he's a spawn of Satan to go ahead and destroy the white race. He's out to go ahead and destroy the Adamite. race here. That's what Satan went ahead and rebelled. Yahweh's plan to supplant him at the top of the ruling food chain. You're going to go ahead and put me, your finest creation, you're going to supplant me, your finest creation, Yahweh, to go ahead and put these here little creatures that you just bred, you know, these mortal creatures made out of clay that you've gone ahead and just breathed into. You're going to go ahead and supplant me? And pretty well, these watchers went ahead and went along with it. They went along with Satan in rebellion. Don't you think that Satan felt that he was being badly treated by Yahweh? Don't you think he went ahead and justified what was being done? And if he went ahead and actually listened to Satan, he would make a very good point in favor of Yahweh being wrong. Folks, the Mamzers, the Jews, the niggers, what have you, they have only two emotions to the white man. And those two emotions are not gratitude. Those two emotions are not love. The two emotions that a Jew or a nigger or a Mamzer has to the white man is fear and hatred. And since we have been so stupid as to remove fear out of the equation of the Jew and the Mamzer and become nothing more than wiggers, well, guess what? The niggers and the Jews are going to go ahead and rule on the motion that's left here, and that's hatred. Because they no longer have any fear of us. Why should they? Your average wigger is just a pussy. A whining, puling pussy. And Edgar Steele whining about, essentially, the government going ahead and doing whatever. I mean, folks, if I'd been Edgar Steele, I would have not told anything. Essentially, I would have gone ahead and said, hey, look, folks, I mean, you're not allowing me to go ahead and represent myself. You're not allowing me to have my bond or bail. Essentially, I'm not going to argue with you. If people like me come to power, essentially, we'll just go ahead and round up your family. We'll torture them and we'll skin them alive. And essentially, after about, it doesn't really matter to me any more than it mattered to Felix Dzerzhinsky as to whether 15 minutes after, you know, I'm going ahead and squeezing your testicles with a pair of pliers, or 4 days after I've removed your pelt. It don't matter to me when you go ahead and confess. And folks, if you're a wigger that goes ahead and goes along like this jury, essentially you've gone ahead and voted for treason, and you deserve to die. And anybody who goes ahead and supports the current regime criminals, they die too. Folks, I'm talking about this great tribulation saving the white race by simply going ahead and holding an extermination to where anybody who is not of Yahweh is going to die. I'm not talking about building something. Essentially, all we need to do is just go ahead and go along with the destruction. And it says in Matthew 24, verse 21 through 22, there is going to be a great tribulation such as never was, and never shall be again. Let me go ahead and look at it real quick. Let me go ahead and read about it. And essentially, this is what this church is about. It's not about like Eli James. Oh, please, there are some good Jews. There are some good Canaanite Jews that can be saved here. And what happens if we go ahead and let the beaners by themselves? Essentially, they're going to go ahead and die out. Even though I don't see beaners dying out by themselves. You know what I mean? Yeah, they're going to die out when there's no more white men and they go ahead and starve and there's big plagues. Yes, they're going to die out. Verse 20. Matthew 24, verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. In short, unlike the papist preterism of Eli James and Bill Finkelschini and the rest of these retards, essentially it says there shall not be a great tribulation such as never was. Well, folks, for the vast majority of human existence, people have pretty well lived in what we would call a dark age, to where there is no there is no mighty world empire. In fact, every world empire has gone ahead. It's not been an empire over the entire world, although it's tried to be. Be it in the days of Noah, be it in the days of Nimrod, be it in the days of Zog, Babylon, the third or final. It's tried to be a world empire, but it's never succeeded. Because not only is there a rebellion among Yahweh's servant nation people, but there's also been rebellion among other people who do not want to be ruled by Uyghurs and ruled by Jews. You know, the Russians, the Chinese. You know, they're not really Zog Babylon. They're not part, they're not Israelite on one hand. On the other hand, they don't really serve the Jews. They just simply serve themselves. Zog Babylon is just like the first Zog Babylon. It's made out of Adamites here who were working against, supposedly for freedom, against Cain, but who went ahead and became worse than Cain. And folks, there's never been a great tribulation such as coming up ahead. There's not been such a great die-off. Never before has there been 7 billion people on this earth, and never will there be this great die-off, which is coming up very close. We're just right dead ahead. And let's see. Let me go ahead, and I'm trying to make sure that the Sheba number 2 doesn't go ahead and die off me. Verse 22. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Unlike Harold Covington, unlike David Puke, unlike all these characters here, I do not worry about the death of Yahweh's servant nation. Because, folks, there will be an elect. And Yahweh is going to go ahead and return, his second return, and he is going to return to save not 7 billion muds and mamsers and wiggers and Jews from the consequences of their own stupidity, from their mindless breeding, from their lust, from the deeds of their father, Satan. Jesus Christ says he's going to go ahead. Verse 22 again. Except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. Now, folks, by no flesh, you know, does he mean, you know, no so-called two-legged, featherless bipeds called humamsers or whatever? And the answer is, I don't know. I don't think Yahweh really cares what happens to them, to these human cockroaches. He goes on, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Folks, it isn't because old Romney, and it isn't because of the Anglo-Mestizo Perry, you know, and this crazy bitch Michelle Bachmann or Ron Paul or anything like that. They're not the elect. The whites, you know, you chosen seed of Israel's race, you who did hear the call, and who did respond to it, and who Jesus Christ chose. Not presumptuous mamsers like Jeremy Vixler, or, you know, criminals like Anglo-Mestizo Truett, or crackheads like Mo Gullet, or Jews like Eli James, or Finkelschini. They don't get to go ahead and choose Christ. And Christ is not going to go ahead and choose them because they're mamsers, they're Jews, they're criminals, they're Zogbots. Essentially, who I'm talking to are the found sheep of the house of Israel. You who did hear the call, and who Jesus Christ went ahead and chose. And folks, unlike some of these characters like in Herbert Armstrong's day here, I'm not the one who's going to go ahead and cut you off. It's you who's going to go ahead and cut off by your own stupidity. But it's not me who can go ahead and cut you off. It is you who goes ahead, if you are of the found sheep of the house of Israel. It is you who go ahead and decide whether you live or die, not whether or not you are a member of my church, and certainly not because, you know, hey, I'm not accepting donations. I'm not telling any of you what to do. I'm just simply advising what you need to do in order to go ahead and survive. So, folks, I'm going to go ahead and point out is that, folks, this Great Tribulation message here, it's not good news. You know, it's called the gospel. It's not good news, though, if you're not of the body of Christ. It's not good news to be told that you are going to go ahead and die in this great tribulation, that your spawn's going to go ahead and die in this great tribulation. I'm quite sure Jeremy Visser loves his little mamsruses. Of course, he doesn't really love them very much because he wants to go ahead and use them in order to go ahead and, you know, break his way into Christianity like the, you know, Mamzer Fifi is. But in some cases, I do believe these Jew boys like Eli James and Bill Fink. They love their little kikes, you know, their little kikes, just like Steve Elder likes little Legal Mamzer 2012. He likes his fellow little Jews. But on the other hand, they don't belong. Yahweh has nothing but, essentially, you're on your own, Mamzer boy, you're on your own. Wigger, you're on your own, Jew boy. But this message is of gospel's good news, because it tells you that the fighting will sooner or later end, and that if you be found worthy, you and your family will come out of it alive. But what you should do is that, well, you shouldn't just go ahead and live hand to mouth. Yahweh and Jesus Christ will expect you to go ahead and do a few proactive things other than just, you know, pray and read your Bible. He also expects you to go ahead and do certain things to go ahead and make sure that you're worthy of living. And that's what this show is about here. It's to go ahead and scare you off from this bowel movement led by Jews, led by Mamzers. I mean, I go ahead, I mix teaching in with a warning. This is somewhat of a gossip show. This is somewhat of a Christian Identity Jerry Springer show. And regrettably, Mona Montgomery didn't show up, so if she could go ahead and give me a good clown interview. So folks, we'll go ahead and, well, essentially, it don't look like I'm going to have too many callers here. Looks like old Moner, essentially wanted to go ahead and screech and holler about how she's glad Edgar Steele ended up being sent to prison, which is not a very nice thing to say or to do. But essentially, Mona wanted to go ahead and get her digs in, and she did so. And then she went ahead and left because she didn't have anything intelligent to say. And maybe she'll go ahead and show up later. Who knows? Maybe not. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead, and Roxy was asking for something here. I think she wants me to go ahead and tuck in and, you know, put a blanket because it sort of turns sort of cold here in southwest Missouri, although it's starting to warm up again. And I'll go ahead for the next segment of the Movement Turn. Hail victory, folks.
They were so brave. Robert Ford caught a
Okay, folks, we're back. I'm going to go ahead and continue reading reading from this thing here. We got the, it don't look like anybody's going to call in tonight. So I'm going to go ahead and talk about Edgar Steele some more. I'm going to go ahead. I have zero respect for any man who is married to a non-white woman here. Well, you know, guest number 24, you might be Pig Freed, you might be old Brian Wright or something like that here. Essentially, you're an anonymous piece of shit here, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. You want to go ahead, just like Brian Real, and say I'm a mamzer, or you want to go ahead and now call me a race traitor. You want to call Roxy, a Mongolian whore. I mean, what to say? I mean, shoot, you can yap whatever stupid shit you want. I'm quite sure if I was going ahead and making you eat your nuts, you'd say something different. Essentially, you're just a, you know, probably a mamzer, criminal, you know, retard yourself here who essentially just wants to go ahead and talk shit about me, which is, well, I guess you can here, unlike Eli James, unlike Dan Johns or something like that. I'm not so much worried about what a mamzer retard says that I'm going to go ahead and censor you. You can say whatever the hell you want to. The only rule I have is no don't spam the freaking chat room. And from what I gather, essentially, people haven't been doing that here. Last week, we had a retard who went ahead and did this shit here. You know what I mean? Heck, Roxy looks like a gook. Your girl is gook here. Well, I guess you can go ahead, which gives you zero credibility. Mars a Mamzer, 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 Mars a Mamzer. Okay. Alright. What's the difference between single seed line, Chris Sandan, and dual seed line? Single seed line, you know, most of it, you know, you have a few preterists here. I mean, I'm not talking about papist preterists like being Jews, you know, who say the Roman Catholic Church went ahead and put Satan in the pit for 1,000 years. You have some preterists like V.S. Harrell who say that Christ's kingdom began in A.D. 70 with the fall of Jerusalem. You know, but then again, they don't come up with a 1,000-year millennium or anything like that here. They're preterists, and you have some of them. And I once had an argument with a preterist back in 1998, and he was so far off the wall, I couldn't understand anything he said. And then another preterist joined, and the two preterists fought with each other. They started, they ignored me, and you know that's pretty well the last I end up hearing about these preterists here. I actually have talked to preterists, you know, I mean, not papist preterists, but preterists, and essentially they're so weird you can't have anything to say with them. Generally, the original, you know, just like Jesus Christ was saying here, is, you know, Jesus Christ knew that there were two bloodlines here, a good seed line and a bad seed line. And generally, your British Israelite people, they go ahead and believe that essentially Adam was the very first man. He was created about 4004 B.C. because they're following the Masoretic text. Believe a number of things here. And essentially, just like fundamentals, Christians here, they believe that literally, six 24-hour periods, and then Yahweh rested for 1/24. And essentially, the British Israelite version here, the most famous one was under Herbert Armstrong. And that's the church, you know, Herbert Armstrong's Worldwide Church of God, formerly the Radio Church of God, then the Worldwide Church of God. And you have quite a few splinter groups, and you have some that still believe that. And essentially, it's called British Israelitism. They call it covenant. They go ahead and believe that Jews were of Judah, but essentially, they had a big fight. You know, they didn't go ahead and believe, so Yahweh went in, passed them through to the Gentiles, and essentially, what happens is that we're under a new covenant. And that's what they believe. And that, you know, the British Israelite people usually prefer to call themselves British Israelite, or they prefer to call themselves Covenant. It's just the dual seed line calls them single seed liners, because dual seed line holds is that, you know, Christian identity holds is that the white people of Northern and Western Europe are the quote lost 10 tribes, actually all 13 tribes of the House of Israel. And that's what Christian Identity holds. And then the dual seed line, the two seed line, holds there's two seed lines, one good, one evil. Like in duality, good versus evil. And that the good seed line is from Adam through to Noah, through to Shem, through to Abraham, through to Isaac, Jacob, Israel. And essentially it believes that there's an evil seed line. That the six-day beasts of the field were just the non-whites created on the sixth day, or sixth era. And that essentially Adam was the first white man. Now, I believe that Adam was not the first white man. He was the first white man with a soul. That these Cro-Magnon people were, you know, men, were actually the first white men, the ones who lived in Europe. And they've been around from, well, approximately 40,000 to 45,000 years. And essentially, when Adam was created, he was the very first white man with a soul. And that pretty well the Adamite people, some of them, you know, bred in with Cro-Magnon people. And essentially, that's how the whole world has become, you know, well, at least Europe became, you know, Adamite. But you've had a lot of miscegenation. Anyway, dual seed line holds is that Adam, you know, Satan went ahead and seduced Eve, and she gave birth to Cain, the world's first Jew. And dual seed line also holds is that that the flood was a local flood based around the time of Noah. It was a local flood in the Tarim Basin, which is now a basin, used to be a plateau, but up against the Himalayan mountains, which was around 600 some miles long and 300 miles wide, and essentially started out as the first Zog Babylon in reaction to Cain, who went ahead and was Sargon the Great. And it was a reaction against Cain and Cain's, you know, family, also called the Aki, which went ahead and took over from Sumeria. So essentially you end up having the modern world approximately around 5,000 or so BC, and the flood, according to Bertrand Comparé, was around 3142 or 3143 and lasted the better part of a year or so. Okay? So Linstead, where can I contact you? The answer is you can contact me at pastorlinstead@gmail.com. Okay? Was Wesley Swift single seed line? The answer is no. You got to understand, I'll give Visser this credit here. He's gone ahead and looked up the early church fathers like Tertullian and St. Justin Martyr and a number of people. I'll go ahead and give credit, you know, credit to Visser for going ahead and some of his books doing a fairly good job. Now, right now he's with Eli James, who is essentially a Roman Catholic Marino Jew, you know, and little think same thing here, but an Ashkenazi Jew. And essentially, Visser has gone ahead and, you know, point out is that the early church fathers were, if you go ahead and look at them, they were really dual seed line. Jesus Christ was dual seed line. He knew that these Jews were of the spawn of Satan. But anyway, someone asked me how to go ahead and contact me. It's Pastor Linstead. You can go ahead and make it all lowercase. There's no, you know, space between Pastor and Linstead, LINDSTEDT, @gmail.com. And I have a webpage, whitenationalist.org, and most of the time I go ahead and post at least once a day on my forum. Okay? Okay, Marty Assumoy. Rio is nigger good faggot Mongol here. Have I ever met Wesley Swift? The answer is I never met Wesley Swift. I met Pastor Richard Butler in May 2004 in Topeka under, you know, Billy Roper's, you know, anti-Brown rally and what I call the Pastor Butler Ford Croaks tour. Billy Roper sort of disappointed me by going ahead and going with that drunken crackhead, Morris Gillette. And I was hoping they'd go ahead and be beholden to Tom Robb, who's really single seed line. Okay? All right, Pastor Fuzz Winstead here. Fact, Brett Rio is whiter than Roxy. Well, I mean, these people say whatever they want here. You know what I mean? What do you think of Charles Juba? Charles Juba, I think, is white. He was with August Christ here, and essentially, he wanted, you have all these tards who want to play Christian Day, like Paul Mowat. Paul Mowat was just simply nothing more than a petty thief who, was with Gillette, and then he got divorced from Gillette. Now he's back with Gillette, and essentially he's just reprint. He got somebody who goes ahead and comes up with a whole bunch of fancy, graphics here, and they reprint Bertrand Comparé stuff. Essentially, Mowat don't know a dang thing about it. Well, same way with Charles Juba. He was with August Christ and with Wickstrom. Essentially, he didn't understand a dang thing about it either. But essentially, I guess he got a lot, last year he was being charged with child molestation. It was a bogus charge, and I think he got out from under it. And that's good, that's good as far as I'm concerned. I don't have a problem with that. Don't have a problem with that at all. Essentially, I don't have any fight with Charles Juba, but essentially, I don't think Charles Juba even bothers, pretending to go ahead and be Christian Identity. I don't think he goes ahead and bothers with it at all. Why should he? What has it ever done for him? It's just something he played at. Just like Sci-Fi Faber went ahead and gave it up a couple months ago and let his domain name, Aryan Nations Revival, lapse. He was Hal Turner's little pet Jersey tard. You know what I mean? Sci-Fi Faber was a total liar. He was just a total retard. Now, essentially, he went ahead and had a fight with Visser, but him and Visser were applying to go ahead and kick me out of my own church, the idiots. Okay? So, okay. Yeah, I've heard of Dr. Al Murray. He lives 60 miles south of me. He got a bigger church than I do. He's pretty well, he's dual seed line. What he is, he's dual seed line, but he doesn't want to get in trouble. He wants to go ahead and maintain his little thing, so he won't call them Jews. He won't call, what he'll do is he'll call them Kenites, or Kenites is what he'll do. He won't call them Jews. So he's pretty well the softest spoken of dual seed liners, just like Pete Peters used to be the hardest, hardest of the single seed liners, even though he didn't even claim to be identity after 1999. So essentially, you have these people, and they know of each other, and they know, they know me. And anyway, Pete Peters died a couple months ago. There's people saying Jews killed him. Okay. So, he calls them Kenites. Well, he doesn't want to have any, he doesn't want to have any trouble. He doesn't want to have any trouble at all, so he calls them Kenites. Arthur Murray does. And folks, if you want to go ahead and listen to him, that's fine. I mean, go ahead and listen to him. He doesn't go ahead. He's not really part of the bowel movement. He doesn't want to be part of the bowel movement. So I don't really discuss, Arthur Murray very much. There's no reason for me to discuss Arthur Murray. Arthur Murray, from what I gather, doesn't get people in trouble like Morris Gillette. Doesn't go ahead and isn't a man's a criminal like Jeremy Visser. I mean, he isn't a Jew like Eli James or Bill Fink or Dan Johns, for that matter. So essentially, since he is, as far as I can tell, an Israelite speaking a sort of toned-down dual seed line message, he does, discussion about him really doesn't take place much on this show because essentially I'm talking about the malefactors. Arthur Murray is not a malefactor as far as I'm concerned. I don't know if he goes ahead and wants people to send him money, and if you send him money, that's fine by me. It doesn't really matter to me. Reason Arthur Murray isn't in my sights is because Arthur Murray isn't really, he's really, he is really a Christian identity pastor. He doesn't, do the, as hardcore as what I might go ahead and preach, but essentially Arthur Murray doesn't cause trouble. He doesn't go ahead and cause trouble. Essentially, he does go ahead and back, the Jews, they know what what he means when he calls them Kenites, and he might have a nigger or two in his congregation, which is not scriptural. But essentially, it's just sort of like when I went to this Branson thing of Pete Peters in May 2002. There was this guy from Mississippi, and he didn't much care for Pete Peters' Nigger of the Month. And I went and explained to him dual seed line. He was intrigued by it. But I'd promise I wouldn't cause any trouble for Pete Peters in return for getting to attend. So, I went ahead and attend. I got baptized by Pete Peters. Essentially, Pete Peters was keeping an eagle eye on me. Pete Peters, somewhat of an asshole. But then again, with Pete Peters, it was either Pete Peters' way or the highway. If you didn't like it, well, there's the highway. So, essentially, I never talked too much about Pete Peters either. And he had this weird Catholic sort of thing, Eucharist and eating a little bit of stuff that we never had in Herbert Armstrong's church, and I thought was sort of papist, that was how he went ahead and did this thing, and he came up with Day 91 Doors that nobody had heard of, and essentially we just called it another feast day for Pete Peters to get some money off the tards. I don't talk too much about Arthur Murray, and I don't talk too much about Pete Peters. Number 79 was a tribute. The movement turned and still up was a tribute to Pete Peters. And, I don't really have a problem with Pete Peters. Well, especially now that he's dead here. But, if old Visser was Krokoff, Eli James, Bill Fink, I'd have nothing good to say about them. Other than thank God the bastards are dead. But, anyway. Okay, can you talk about the news that people don't matter, okay? Yes, number 28. You just go ahead and insist here. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and go along with Cindy Steele. What happens is that, in Steele's case, a conspiracy can only be found if you ignore the facts, and your worldview dictates there's a conspiracy everywhere, Windmill said. The face of this judge would not allow Edgar Steele to mount a defense. He went ahead and allowed the government to go ahead and spy on Edgar Steele's trial. He went ahead and allowed him to go ahead. He spied on what he was going to say. Essentially, this crooked judge didn't believe in giving a fair trial to Edgar Steele. Now, the way I look at it, the solution is not to go ahead and whine that Edgar Steele deserves a fair trial. The solution is simply to go ahead and do whatever the hell you want to regime criminals and give them as fair a trial as what they gave somebody else here. Felix Dzerzhinsky, I believe, had the correct interpretation to regime criminals. You see, Yahweh doesn't support any regime. Certainly doesn't support this one. He understands that it is Zog Babylon, the third and the final. What I go ahead and support is that since there's not any justice, it's just simply run by Jews in order to go ahead and destroy, treasonous wiggers to go ahead and destroy Yahweh's servant nation, there's no sense in going ahead and giving regime criminals a, quote, fair trial. You just go ahead and round them up, torture them, and anybody who goes ahead and sides with Zog deserves to die too. Now, I don't see anything wrong with using nuclear weapons or biological weapons against wiggers. They want to die. And now you have, as a result of what's going on for the past, 50 years or so, you have the bills coming due. Ever since Ronald Reagan has gone ahead and taken power, well, what happens is that he didn't believe in tax and spend. He believed in borrow and spend. And essentially, the bills are coming due. Nobody believes that, anybody's going to be able to pay for all these debts.
Now, the reason you have this thing happen over in Europe is that, well, essentially they've been, you know, having a socialist government to where essentially they only work till they're 50 or so, and they only have to work a couple, less than 40 hours. And essentially they don't go ahead and produce very much. And so they've had to go ahead in case of Italy, Portugal, Italy, Ireland, Greece, and Spain. Essentially, they've been going ahead and living off of borrowed money, borrowed by Jew banksters. Now there's nothing to go ahead and pay off those debts. It's just nothing more than paper, IOUs. And so things are falling apart. And the reason that, they're falling apart is that essentially Europe has, essentially galloping cancer and a heart attack and stroke, whereas the United States just simply has AIDS. The reason that money's going to go ahead and go to treasury bills is because essentially that's the only thing which, supposedly guarantees that you're going to end up having some money. America's gone ahead and used this money as a reserve currency, and they've printed up a bunch, but essentially over in Greece and Spain and Italy, they're not able to go ahead and pay for stuff here. In the case of this Edgar Steele thing, essentially, here you have these judges, you have these lawyers, they believe that essentially they're going to go ahead and get to go ahead and put anybody they want to prison, do whatever the hell they want to people, and that somehow there's going to be a constipation bill of goods and due process of law for them to go ahead and live with here. They believe the white people don't have any choice but to go ahead and obey this stupid crap here, and essentially we have nothing better to do than go ahead and pay for niggers and beaners. For example, the federal court, the Federal Appeal Court for Washington District of Congoys, went ahead and ruled that Obongo's, health care plan is okay. It's constitutional because guess what? The Congress can go ahead and under guise of necessary and proper here can go ahead and take, essentially go ahead and demand that you as a white person have to go ahead and pay a private organization, i.e., these insurance companies, you have to go ahead and buy this health insurance so that they can go ahead, because the cost just been shifted to you, so they can go ahead and give niggers and illegal beaners free health care, and essentially you have to go ahead and pay not only for the nigger, you have to go ahead and pay for, not only your own health insurance, to where it's going to go ahead and cost a minimum of $15,000, on maybe a $10,000 income or something like that. You have to go ahead and pay for this health insurance, but you have to go ahead and also buy it so that essentially the niggers and beaners can go ahead and have it for, quote, free. Essentially, that's what the federal, appeals courts went ahead and said a couple of days ago. That's exactly what the hell they say. Okay, well, here's the question. If white people can't go ahead and they don't have jobs and they're not able to go ahead and able to take care of themselves, what makes you think they can go ahead and afford to pay taxes? Here in Newton County, they went ahead and passed Tuesday, me and Roxy voted against it, they went ahead and passed a 0.25-cent sales tax for the roads. Now, folks, it used to be is that essentially the property taxes were used and also the gasoline taxes and the rest were going ahead and used to pay for the county roads. Now the county roads have not been kept up because the price of everything's gone up. And essentially now you end up having, 0.25 cent of what money you have left in order to go ahead and pay for stuff to be used for, to be used to go ahead and pay for the, Newton County roads. To go ahead and pay for deferred maintenance and stuff like that. Now, folks, you've had for a number of years in places like South Dakota and places like Michigan, you've had these roads go from being paved to being gravel. Because essentially we now live in is a third world country in some parts and a second world country, no longer a first world country. This infrastructure isn't able to go ahead and be repaired, not and pay for niggers and beaners and greasers. Okay? How's that going to happen here? Do FEMA camps exist? I'm quite sure they do.
The question of it is, what Zog wants to go ahead and believe. See what happens in the case of Edgar Steele. What they're doing is they're setting up people to where they can go ahead and essentially, with the aid of the Whiggers, they can go ahead and arrest whoever they want. Okay. What's going to end up happening here is when rather than go ahead and turn yourself in like a 64-year-old lawyer who's suffering from that, you end up going against a healthy white man who's a military veteran who essentially has a gun and who essentially you can't go ahead and guard the judge or the pigs or the rest here of their families 24-7. Essentially, when things start falling apart, it ends up, you know, see, Zog wants to pretend that we have rule of law. And the reason why I have rule of law is that unlike an overtly communist country or an Arab dictatorship or something like that, to where, you know, you can't go ahead and rely on these conscript forces to go ahead and shoot your average protester. Now, essentially, once it goes ahead and gets, you know, like today, Carl Danger was saying, telling the pigs, is that, guess what? Your pension plan, Piggy, essentially has been stolen by these Jew banksters. Well, he didn't say Jew banksters, but he's been stolen by these banksters. Essentially, Piggy, what happens is that you're going to go ahead and have to, you know, have actual rule of gun, pretend to be rule of law, and essentially, the United States is not used, it's not ready or willing to go ahead and get to where it's an open dictatorship. It's an open tyranny. In the case of Edgar Steele, he's whining as if he's going to go ahead and get a fair, you know, trial or something like that. I would simply say, look, Judge, I agree. There is nothing wrong with going ahead and rounding up somebody and torturing them to elicit a confession. Essentially, all it boils down to is that, hey, I'm all together in my 10,000 warlords project. I'm all together for one of you local warlords essentially using or misusing, you know, Christian identity to go ahead and justify killing niggers and beaners and Jews and Wiggers. And when this great tribulation coming over, if you have leadership ability, go ahead and use what you know to go ahead and allow civil war. I believe in civil war. I believe the civil war and the great tribulation and struggle and, you know, fight and death is going to be the salvation of the white race. Because I believe we have what? Only about 120 million pure-blooded Wiggers left. We have about 180, 170 million Muds, Mamzers, and the rest. A lot of them pretend to be white. So folks, I believe in civil war. I believe that we can, you know, that there is no political problem that cannot be solved by killing 10 or 20 million, you know, Wiggers and Mamzers. There is no problem that cannot be solved by exterminating Jews. There is no problem that cannot be solved by essentially going ahead and putting pigs and lawyers and judges to death. So, folks, I mean, essentially, I agree with essentially the methods that Zog uses, just I believe in being far more honest about it. Okay? A jury in Boise. Well, folks, it's a bunch of Wiggers. And most of them are California refugees. They want to go ahead and pretend that they're running away, but they're so politically correct and they're not racist here. That's the way things are in Idaho. If you're anywhere associated with the Arab nations, essentially the judge and the pigs have carte blanche to go ahead and screw you. They do. And now they're claiming, and that's what Hadding says, Steele called his wife after his arrest and told her to say the voice on the FBI recordings was not his, which led to his conviction for victim tampering. Okay. All right. Fine. When you go ahead and you torture a regime criminal, and he goes ahead and he's calling to his wife, he's calling to his children, honey, don't believe what they say about me. Essentially, are you ready to go ahead and face a conviction for tampering? I believe that should be done to you. Essentially, I think that, you know, essentially in ancient Israel, when you exterminated, when you overthrew a government, you not only went ahead and overthrew the king, you went ahead and exterminated the king's entire family. And you not only went ahead and exterminated the king's entire family, you went ahead and exterminated whoever supported the king, be it a bell priest, be it, you know, be it a soldier, and you went ahead and exterminated the king's men's family. You went ahead and exterminated the entire regime. You didn't leave anybody alive. You exterminated the entire lot of them, unless they went ahead and had betrayed for the new regime. A lion, when he goes ahead and he kills the old lion or drives the old lion away, what's the first thing that lion will do? And the answer is what he'll do is he will kill all the cubs that were sired, male or female, by his predecessor. And do people say, well, that's so cruel, that's so evil? No, that's the way it is. Folks, that's how the white race has gone ahead and dealt with traitors. A regime criminal who is in power, who goes ahead and destroys a white family. Shouldn't his entire family be destroyed? Don't I if I love my grandchildren, I do. And don't I if I went ahead and swore an oath that I would do my best to send anybody who is with Zog Babylon, them and their entire family, send screaming to hell. Essentially, as I look at it, you went ahead and destroyed my family. I don't want your money. I want your head and pelt, and I want your children's head and pelt. You and your entire family needs to die. And, you know, in Christian Israel, an ordinary criminal, you know, only he is put to death, but a criminal regime who is going to go ahead and destroy the entire race, that regime criminal's family, be it a king, be it a president, be it a, you know, be it the rest here, that and anybody who goes and supports that ancient regime, their entire family needs to die, and that's how the bloodline is purified here. It's gone ahead and cleansed of its bad elements. And every so often, just like in the days of Noah, an entire millions of people were flooded out by Yahweh. In the case of Sodom and Gomorrah, they were not Canaanites. You wouldn't go ahead and read where essentially Abraham went ahead and sided with the cities of the plains against this invading Mesopotamian army. Were the Canaanites? No. But yet they were evil. Were they not little 2 and 3 year old baby girls in Sodom and Gomorrah and Zoar? What happened to them? The answer is that Yahweh went ahead and burnt them to death with fire and brimstone. There's no such thing as innocence, people here. There's only sides. There's only races here. And what happens if you're a traitor to this race, then you need to die. So, anyway, I'm looking at, you know, guest number 24. He's being an ass clown here. It doesn't really matter, though. Anyway. Well, the thing about it is that it might very well be cruel here. Okay? Well, guest number 27, I think Obagender Bender has been going ahead and going in here. You know, Obagender Bender is going to go ahead and scream and whine and piss and moan. Essentially, I should love I should love thy mamzer, I should love thy faggot, I should love thy Jew. They're just so innocent here. I mean, hey, they get to go ahead and destroy my family, but hey, I can't go ahead and destroy theirs, or I can't advocate destroying theirs, and the answer is, no, screw them. Steele's been in jail since his arrest in June 2010. Fairfax is serving 27 months for placing a pipe bomb under Cindy Steele's car and not telling authorities. Steele's law license has been suspended in Washington. He relinquished his license in Idaho to avoid disciplinary proceedings. Folks, why in the world should there be any licensing at all? I have a question. If a licensed lawyer goes ahead and commits a crime of treason, then shouldn't the people who went ahead and licensed them be put to death as well? Are they not guilty of treason? Why should there be any licensing? Be it a doctor's or the rest here. Folks, I was locked up in that house and essentially forced illegally to go ahead and be doped up. You know, not very much dope. In fact, rather small amount of dope, and I spit it out. You know, at least when I, at least when there wasn't some nigger going ahead, I have to go ahead and make sure that I, took the dope pills for me. And here I am, in Fulton, just south of a prison, which is filled with people who decided for whatever reason they wanted to go ahead and self-medicate themselves with what they believed. So folks, was it a matter of some dope is good for you and other dope is bad for you? Who gets to decide that? The answer of it is, it's a matter of power. It's not a matter of what is good for people, it's a matter of power, just like licensing. Edgar Steele should not have a law license. Pigs should not have a license. Essentially, our modern police essentially are just nothing more than enforcement arms for Zog Babylon. Anyone who's a policeman, if they're on the wrong side, they need to die. They need to be put to death, them and the entire family. You don't go ahead and use the power of the state to go ahead and destroy innocent people, or even non-innocent people here. Folks, essentially you use your power to go ahead and destroy one family, just like Ahab used his power, and Jezebel used his power to go ahead and destroy one Israelite family. Essentially, Yahweh said the entire, every one of Ahab's house who died in the city was to be eaten by the dogs. Anyone in Ahab's house, anybody in Ahab's regime, and their families who died out in the fields were to be eaten by the birds. And anyone who went ahead and dared to go ahead and give Ahab's family a decent burial, they and their family would go ahead and be food for the dogs and the birds. Yahweh does not support any regime. Yahweh only supports and believes in a people. And he has told these people, he said that you should only go ahead and elect your own, not Jews, not niggers, like what happened with the fraudulent nigger who's not even an American citizen, or Bongo. Essentially, the reason we are where we are at is because we have been disobedient to Yahweh. We've gone ahead and not exterminated the Jew, the Canaanite, the Mamzer. We've not gone ahead and kicked them out of our presence. We've not gone ahead and dealt with the regime criminal Uyghur traitor. And as a result, we are suffering what we are suffering now. We are brought very, very low, and the racial alien is raised very, very high, and he's out to go ahead and destroy us. And that's exactly what's gone ahead and happened. I don't know if anybody of you listened here, but essentially, for a couple of years, while old George Bush was making a big deal about our wonderful heroes and how you couldn't go ahead and, take a picture of all the body bags, for the last couple of years, if a body is claimed, not claimed, you know what they did with it? They went ahead and threw it in a landfill. They went ahead and treated soldiers of Zog, a Zog dupe, as less than a dog to be gone ahead and thrown into a landfill, into a dump. That's how Zog has gone ahead and treated, their own little Zog dupes as less than garbage. That's literal garbage. And folks, I sort of agree with Zog in that ascension here. I really do, now that I think on it. Why shouldn't garbage be treated like garbage? Why shouldn't it? Why should any of us go ahead and whine and complain and kvetch and bitch about garbage being treated like, garbage? What's the problem with that? Somebody want to talk about the news? Well, here's the news. It's not just Edgar Steele being treated like garbage. Not just Edgar Steele being gone ahead and, screwed over. Essentially, you have Zog Juice being treated like garbage. Their bodies to be gone ahead and brought over like a thief in the night. And then, when nobody doesn't come to claim him because they don't know he's dead, tossed into a landfill. Ain't that wonderful, Zog? Isn't that precious? So, number 27, you can go ahead and say whatever you want here. I mean, if I knew who you were and I didn't like you here, I'd probably
want to discriminate against you. But you can go ahead and whine like a pussy, number 27. Okay? Okay, covering news here. Iran? Well, I've already covered Iran here. Essentially, I believe Iran has nuclear weapons. I believe they went ahead. If Iran was smart, they'd, you know, when Soviet Union was falling apart, they just simply bought artillery shells with nuclear, you know, plutonium or U-238 in them. And then did what they do now here. Go ahead and scrape the fuel rods and pretend that that's where they're getting some uranium for a couple of limited bombs here. I believe Iran has, you know, nuclear weapons. Folks, what of it? Let's say the dirty Jews go ahead and cause trouble for Iran, and then there's a war with Iran, and then Iran, in the course of events, goes ahead and nukes the Jews and nukes Zog. What of it? Won't Zog deserve whatever they can get for fighting with somebody who's able to go ahead and kill their ass back? Essentially, you don't worry about what's going on. You don't worry about what's going on in the Great Tribulation. For example, I'll look at this idiotic thing about earthquake insurance. Saturday night, here in Granby, Missouri, about 250 some miles away, you know, not quite 300, well, maybe 300 from around Oklahoma City, but I'd say about 250 miles away from Oklahoma City, I went ahead and felt something here, and I thought it was the wind, but the wind wasn't blowing. And it occurred for, you know, a short time here, about maybe a couple seconds. What the hell's going on? Then an hour later, I went ahead and looked, and, well, it was a 5.53 earthquake around Oklahoma City. Now, my house is made mainly out of rocks and cement, although it has, oh, a bunch of old oak timbers. You know, about 100 years ago, it was made around 1910. And essentially, it was given to this old guy named Nelson Summey, and he went ahead, he was a very good mason, he went ahead and used cinder blocks, he went ahead and used concrete, he went ahead and covered the free house that he got sometime in the 60s, he went ahead and covered it, with rock, and a masonry structure is far more susceptible to earthquake damage than anything else here. But I was looking at this earthquake insurance. Well, folks, if you end up having a big major earthquake, how is any insurance company supposed to go ahead and have enough reserves to go ahead and cover it? Essentially, what you're doing is that you are wasting your money, especially in a situation like today when essentially there is no solid. There really is no solid economic company or firm here able to go ahead. It's all based upon speculation. If you want to go ahead and buy earthquake insurance here, why? Well, I think you'll have as much, you know, luck as my grandfather Fred Lindstedt did. He paid $150 for Skylab insurance. He was worried that somehow Skylab, way back in 1980s, 1990s, was going to go ahead and fall out of the sky and hit this house that my dad built, you know, over in Pierce, South Dakota, that essentially Skylab was going to go ahead and fall on him. So he went ahead and paid out some money for Skylab insurance. Well, there was somebody who's seen him coming. Usually he used to be a lot tighter with a dollar here, but essentially he became old and scared. So, folks, why am I supposed, you know, I mean, what can I do about an earthquake? It says, you know, that there'll be one of the signs of the times that you'll end up having earthquakes, wars, rumors of wars, famines, pestilence, disease. But, folks, you've had that one out because, really, when you look at it, most people, I mean, here are these people talking about how old Whiggers ought to go ahead and pay for beaners, young beaners, because we need demographics. Well, folks, is Mexico able to take care of itself economically? And the answer is no. So why would Whiggers be able to go ahead and take care of themselves? Do they become any less beaner? Do they become any less nigger just because they're in this country? Throughout the world here, essentially the vast majority of the critters
are not able to go ahead and take care of themselves. They don't have good government. They don't have clean water. They don't have enough to eat. All they can do is just simply breed and breed and breed and breed. And stupid wiggers are going to feed them. But what I notice now in this country is that you have less and less ability to go ahead and take care of the wiggers and anglo-mestizos, at least around here. Things are getting more and more and more expensive. Far more expensive. You're having higher prices for smaller portions. Okay? How's that going to go ahead and help here? Well, that Penn State coach, hell, he looks like, you know, from my guy, he's some sort of Italian. Yeah, he looks a little like Anthony Rio here, you know? Or that Joe whatever. Suppose they had a freaking riot. They had a freaking riot. But on the other hand, here are all these wiggers assuming that this guy supposedly is guilty of raping these boys. Well, that hasn't been decided yet. You know what I mean? Maybe the guy isn't guilty. I don't know. Huh? Anyway. And the nihilist, okay, number 27, would be in a state institution for sure. Oh, look, number 27, back in the 70s here, especially they have viewed me as a nut, but they wouldn't have done a single thing about it. You know what I mean? Okay, number 27. Number 27, I mean, you're just a Mamser, a Wigger, a Jutard who comes in there, don't like what's being said. Why are you here? You know what I mean? So, where am I at here? Oh, okay, two Turks. Well, Brian Real looks a lot like a nigger. Sometimes he looks like a gook. Sometimes he looks like a Mamser. Guest number 27 is probably over gender bender. You've been looking over on Nimbusters and finding out some stuff here. I'm going to go ahead and, you know, I'm going to go ahead and talk about Edgar Steele. In an angry and tearful statement to the court, she blasted the case against her husband, saying it was rife with government corruption. She called her colleagues of her husband discussing the murder plot with Fairfax's elaborate fabrications. Her statement was cut short because she repeatedly told Windmill she was a victim of her husband, and Windmill said the speaking time was reserved for victims. So in short, she says she wasn't a victim. Now he says, well, hey, okay, speaking time is reserved for victims. Well, then, hey, if she's not a victim, he said just said he isn't a victim, so therefore the case should be dismissed then, right? You have, essentially, all this is just simply a bunch of regime criminals doing whatever the hell they want to do. And they sort of think that wiggers are going to go ahead and remain lawful while they go ahead and get to live off of people. Folks, a judge is simply nothing more than a lawyer regime criminal. A lawyer is simply nothing more than a regime criminal. Simply a parasite that lives off of people. Essentially, there should be no such thing as a lawyer. Nobody who gets a special license to steal from people. And essentially, if a regime is not very run well here, essentially there needs to be, just like Thomas Jefferson said, a revolution every generation. Assistant U.S. Attorney Tracy Whelan cited Edgar Steele's long, long pattern of manipulative behavior. Really? When recommending the 600-month sentence, which Windmill says is the longest he's seen as a federal judge. So here you have this judge in Mace, the longest time he ever had, essentially based upon what some criminal did. He admitted he did here, and essentially you ended up having a crooked jury, go ahead and do it, and you whine about third-world justice. Folks, you end up having third world justice now here. You just have a crooked judge, you have a crooked prosecutor. Essentially, they believe that, well, now this shit's going to go ahead and affect them. She said Cindy Steele's belief that her husband is innocent makes her husband's crime no less real, no less dangerous to the community. Well, folks, he wasn't doing anything against the community. Supposedly he was doing something against Cindy Steele. If she doesn't believe they did it, what's the complaint? She's the one who's in danger, you know, if Edgar Steele did try to go ahead and kill her. Edgar Steele didn't try to go ahead and kill everybody in the community. Edgar Steele reiterated that request. I've been improperly charged. I've been improperly tried. I'm about to be sentenced improperly. I demand to be released now. Steele criticized the U.S. Marshal for looking amused during his speech. He said the idea that the government would frame him is not so far-fetched. Well, folks, I know how to wipe off a smirk off a U.S. Marshal's face here. I mean, folks, you didn't have them critters smirking after one of Randy Weaver's friends went ahead and shot these marshals. They pissed their pants here. They're just like every other gun thug. Scared. They know they're going to go ahead and die, and they know that there's no heaven for them. Scared shitless. A pig is just nothing more than a thug, a bully in a uniform. Nothing more than a criminal in uniform, a regime criminal. Folks, I bet I could go ahead. I bet, essentially, there's going to be a lot of smirks rubbed off the faces or the snouts of regime criminals. Just like number 27. Another piece of shit here. Sanctimonious, cowardly, running around and essentially yapping shit. Just like sort of like Kentucky Chomo Melungeon, like Engelded, like Visser, like Brian Wright. Essentially, they're nothing more than vicious criminals who run around hiding their snouts. And essentially, they believe that their horseshit is going to be believed. Well, see, unlike Eli James, unlike Dan Johns, unlike Steve Elder, I don't have to go ahead and censor them because essentially they're such clowns that essentially you go ahead and let them say whatever the hell they want to say. Nobody cares what they have to say. Certainly I don't. Steele said it happens. It happened to this government. It happens in the international governments. These are not the lunatic rantings of a madman. He described Arizona's trial by his lawyer, Robert McAllister, who has since been disbarred for stealing money in a case unrelated to Steele's. He blamed law enforcement for taking the word of Fairfax, who he described as oafist and a self-admitted pipe bomber, over his own. He also asked Windmill to sentence him to 1,000 years in prison, saying any sentence was a life sentence at his age. Put me in the Guinness Book of World Records, Steele said. After Steele's was sentenced, U.S. Attorney D. Mark Hawes, who prosecuted the case, wheeled and said, Mr. Steele is responsible for everything that has befallen him. The court, federal agents, and jury have all properly fulfilled their roles, making sure justice was done. Well, folks, I agree. So, hey, when it comes time to go ahead and be scanned and you're screaming, and the jury, essentially they're being scanned out, now, essentially, anybody goes ahead and support the regime or dying of biological weapons or something like that, well, guess what? Can't you say that justice has been done? Can't you say that whatever ended up happening was something that Yahweh wanted happening? You see, Yahweh wants you creatures, most of you creatures, to die. He wants you to go ahead and die in this great tribulation. You see, folks, we cannot have a golden age with degenerate people, with degenerate stupid Whiggers, with Mamzers, with Jews. We can't have anything as long as you have these creatures alive. Then you have this piece of shit Don Pauly. He's whining that JC will duplicate this post as soon as he finds it online. See, that idiot has nothing new to say. So Steele sentenced to 600 months in prison. You have all these here, little critters yapping. Essentially what you have Anyway, JC finally went ahead and mentioned here about hearsay evidence here. Hmm. Yeah, old JC was making fun about more steamy love letters. You have old Don Pauly running around. And, you know, essentially he's taking the side of Zog, Babylon. Anyway, Cindy Steele went ahead and goes ahead and talks about these crooked, you know, crooked attorneys and the rest of it here. You know, statement of the victim, Cindy Steele, Your Honor, what is at stake? Family and marital background. Okay. You know, she, you know, Cindy Steele goes ahead and says that, hey, he's taking care of his wife. He's taking care of children by a different marriage. You know, his controversial law practice, how the government manufactured a motive. Went ahead and lied about the agent Sotka recordings. Essentially, these crooked bastards going ahead. Mr. McAllister, another lawyer not doing his job. Government employee Whalen. You know, his mother. Essentially, to where Cindy Steele doesn't believe he did it. Folks, essentially this was all together a put-up. Essentially, this is the government saying they can do whatever the hell they want to. And, folks, I agree. They have the power to do whatever the hell they want to. But just like all criminals, just like all regime criminals, they whine when the end result isn't what they want. Just sort of like, you know, well, simply like the government went ahead and did Waco, Ruby Ridge, Oklahoma City, 9/11. And the end result is that every time they go ahead and destroy the basis of civilization, then they whine like pussies that the population is degenerate, stupid, weak, misbegotten, and not able to go ahead and support the Jews and the Mamzers and the, you know, regime criminals as well as they like. And essentially, we have a system which is in decline. And everybody realizes that it's in decline. So what do they do? Well, should we go ahead and blame the nigger? And essentially, the Democrats are blaming the nigger for being a pussy, a tool of the Jews, which is what he is. And then on the other hand, we have another, you know, we end up having a nigger who's gone ahead and molested a whole bunch of white women, and he's stonewalling on it. And then we have a choice of a piece of shit like, you know, Anglo Mestizo, like Perry, who simply was saying something stupid here and people went ahead and took it seriously. Or a piece of shit like Romney, who essentially is just a lying pussy who will go ahead and say anything to get elected. Essentially, there's nothing to go ahead and vote for. And here in my court case, why, I'm not allowed to run for United States Senator. I'm not allowed to run for, Missouri Governor. And yet they want to go ahead and pretend that I and white men who would like to vote for me is responsible for supporting this government, for obeying their laws and paying their taxes. And the answer is no. Essentially, we cannot no longer get along together. We can no longer get along together. So what do we do? And the answer, what I'm saying, isn't to go ahead and form a militia or do anything stupid. My answer is simply that what we do is that we let Zog go ahead and fall apart as best we can. And if we get a chance to do something that's not detectable, go ahead and do whatever the hell you want to Zog. There's nothing wrong with, well, say, you know, I mean, hey, here I was being doped up. It was up to me. I'd go ahead and do medical experiments on these, you know, quack doctors and their families. These pigs, well, hey, I think they'll be skinned out alive. These regime criminals who are ruling now, essentially there's nothing wrong with enslaving their families here. And if they go ahead and they want to live, there's nothing wrong with putting the 666 and gelding their sons, using their daughters, you know, if they're white, for essentially just nothing more than just, you know, people to go ahead and be bred. Essentially, if they're going to act like animals, you treat them like animals. You don't go ahead and give them any rights. They went ahead and forfeited their rights when they went ahead and supported the regime, which is out to go ahead and destroy the white race. Your average Quaker does not deserve any mercy, and Yahweh's not going to go and give it any. He's not going to go ahead, you know, and folks, there is no You know, like I'm trying to go ahead and say, Axis Sally on Covington's thing was going ahead and bitching that she had a bunch of stupid wiggers who were going ahead and, you know, yapping her name and saying her name or something like that here. Folks, well, Steve Elder. And I'm beginning to go ahead and, you know, trace him. For my guess, his name is Steve Schultz or something. And folks, from what I gather, he goes ahead and makes flags. And essentially, from what I gather, I've had some people go ahead and ask for flags. And essentially, that's the name he goes ahead and gives. And I tell people, essentially, don't go ahead and reveal your real name. You're not out to go ahead and do flags. So, hey, I'm going ahead and getting, you know, a link on old Steve Elder. But, hey, Steve Elder was known last March for going ahead and banning a newbie for saying that Brian Rio wasn't white. You have all these mamsers who pretend Brian Rio was white, whiter than me, whiter than Roxy. Fox, the man's just a shit-skinned mamser. A year ago, well, on the 14th, he went ahead and took down Pastor Winstead earlier, but hey, you have these people pretend to be us here. Folks, I'm just simply saying is that there is no sense in going ahead and having mercy on regime criminals or wiggers or anything like that. They went ahead and turned this country into a shithole. They turned it into a third world country. Well, let them die upon their ignorance and let their children die upon their ignorance. Yahweh doesn't care. I have heard some bitching and pissing and moaning because Fred Phelps said that God hated Joplin. Because Joplin was a, you know, place which went ahead and supported Zog Babylon's invasion because it supported homosexuality. And let me just admit that Joplin has a reputation for being far more, you know, being right-wing faggots than any place else here. They're still faggots, but they're right-wing faggots. And Fred Phelps says that God hated Joplin, that's why he sent a tornado. Well, folks, I believe, more like Luke chapter, 13? That essentially, Yahweh doesn't give a shit one way or the other for Joplin, and most of the cases, if you're a Wigger or a Mamser or a Rest, he don't give a shit for you either. You have no right to go ahead and live in a white society. And most cases, if you're a Wigger, you have no right to live in a white society, because you've simply gone ahead and betrayed it. And now we have the very end of the baby boom generation, to which I belong, and essentially they were given a far freer country. When I was born nearly 54 years ago, this is not the same country I was born in. Just like when Noah was, 48 years old? Or 480 years old? 500 years old? 600 years old? It was not the same, place which he had been born. Pretty well, the Wiggers and the Mamsers and the demons and the rest had taken over. And it no longer was his country. And essentially, the only thing that kept him alive probably is that essentially they knew if they went ahead and mishandled Noah, that Yahweh would just simply go ahead and kill whoever mishandled him. And so he was allowed, essentially in peace, to go ahead and build a big old ark and go ahead and preach for 120 years between the ages of 480 and 600. And you read about a month or so after his 600th birthday, the floodgates were opened. Water came from the sky, and then water, the mains of the earth, were opened up. And essentially, you had a flood, a local flood. So, folks, this Zog Babylon is not going to go ahead and die in water. It's going to go ahead and die in fire. It's going to die in the fires of the Civil War. All across the white nationalist community, you find out that people are beginning to realize that we faced our own cultural Stalingrad some time back. And essentially, it's a matter of going ahead and having white people rise up and essentially disown this current criminal regime. But what we have in the white nationalist movement is a bunch of Zogbots and frauds and tards and idiots thinking they can go ahead and beg and plead. Oh, please, niggers and Jews, let us, some of us, live, because if we, no more white men, you're all going to die. And that's true. But do you think the niggers and Jews are going to go ahead and stop doing what they've been doing? And the answer is no. We have niggers and Jews in our bowel movement, and the niggers and Jews in the form of, Eli James, William Fink, Brian Rail in the Fight Case of Niggers, Anglem Cecil Truitt, and Jeremy Visser in the Case of Red Nigger Mansers. And, you know what, you know, I mean, Zogbots in the form of James Wickstrom and Morris Gillette and probably Paul Mullett. And folks, we're going to go ahead and save the white race. You know, with such vermin, the answer is no. We're not. We're not. That's why this show is about here, is to go ahead and urge people to save their very own lives by going ahead and not being part of Zog Babylon, but to go ahead and seek out their own salvation by pretty well withdrawing yourself from Zog Babylon. Now, when the time comes, when this great tribulation comes here, you will have a bunch of evil people who are dying, who are essentially, while you are quietly making your way, eventually, you're going to have a big die-off. And when Jesus Christ is ready to appear, will it not be your duty to go ahead and exterminate the remaining Whiggers, the remaining Jews, the remaining Muds, who are essentially, please, 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 we didn't know it come to this. Well, folks, I think you did know, and I think you didn't care. You were hoping it would come to this, but you thought that you would be doing it to us. And now it's our time for us to be doing it to you. Folks, nobody knows how horrible, nobody can, you know, do how horrible this great tribulation is going to be. But Jesus Christ says, it was such as never was and never will be, you know, be again. So take that, you preterists. Folks, there's never been a great tribulation such as never was and never will again here. Essentially, that's just Eli James and Bill Fink going ahead and coming up with their Roman Catholic Jew horseshit, their cult assembly, their Nimrodian horseshit, kike shit, really. And in the case of Dan Johns, son Legal Manser, and you know, Steve Schwartz, or Schultz, or whatever his name is, Steve Commandor McFag, bleeding kike shit. That's all it is. Oh, by the way, Obagenderbender, you got to go ahead and laugh about Obagenderbender, because I went ahead and dug out a thread from VNNF here, to where when Linder was announced that Linder had Crohn's, or Jew AskAids, Obagenderbender said that 3 tablespoons per day of coconut oil could go ahead and cure that up. And I'm not quite sure how it's going to be applied here. I guess maybe Obagenderbender wanted to go ahead and personally apply it to Linder's affected part. Essentially, maybe you want to go ahead and apply 3 tablespoons of coconut oil to Linder's inflamed anus. Yeah, you gotta laugh here. But here it is, way back in 2007 or 2008, and Obagenderbender essentially is wanting, just like Steve Elder, wanting to go ahead and help Linder, a poor gut sick hiking weasel with 2 AskAids. You know, and I guess maybe Obagenderbender knows a little bit about it, because probably there's a lot of people think Obagenderbender, among being a Mamzer, is a Jew as well. So, anyway, Obagenderbender is sort of lightened up here, and old, Mumps Nuts is sort of lightened up, because some of the Nimbusters have heard, and I've gone ahead and said, is that Roxy told me about a week or two ago that Liar Bill said not only do you have Mumps Nuts here, he only has one nut. So, you know, maybe y'all just call Mumps Nut. But, essentially, old Liar Bill, he's why I like a pussy about that. So, folks, I'm going to go ahead and take a break, and this may be or may not be the very last section of the Movement Turret. So, essentially, tomorrow, what I would like you Nimbusters to do is that Eli James doesn't have it up, but suppose that I think he starts at 11 o'clock Eastern Time, you know, 11 o'clock maybe Central Time in Chicago or wherever, and he starts at 11 tomorrow. So, folks, Yeah, I'm calling on you if you have time on your hands, nothing better to do, and most of you numbusters don't have anything better to do. Go ahead and send a stream of Attack Daleks over to Eli James's Talk to You program. And go ahead and let Anglo Macizo Truett, let Dan Johns, you know, the Jew who has, you know, serial polygamous Jew Manzer who carries, you know, Crohn's, let Eli or James, let the rest of them know here, and don't worry about being blocked or censored, because Eli James will not, you know, as a Jew, you know, he's sort of like a possum Jew. He can't go ahead and make up his mind, like, unlike Finkelschini. Finkelschini knows he's a Jew, and essentially, well, he knows he's a Jew, and therefore he cannot go ahead and, you know, stand, you know, a discouraging word, unlike me. I mean, shoot, you know, guest number 27 can go ahead and say I'm a Mamzer, the Roxy's a Mamzer. I mean, what am I going to do about it? I'm going to let guest number 27 be as big an ass clown as guest number 27 wants to be. Okay? Because, hey, there ain't anything I can or will do about it. So what of it? But anyway, go ahead if you want and give Eli James a, well, essentially, you know, notice that he's not fooling anyone. Okay? So, folks, this will be, I'm not sure if this is the last segment of the Movement Turd. Chances are it might very well be, because I've pretty well covered Edgar Steele. I've pretty well covered how Jews and Mamzers know the Jews and Mamzers. Mona Montgomery was here earlier, whining and bitching and pissing and moaning about, well, essentially how she's glad that poor old Edgar Steele got 50 years. Although I don't see how that's going to go ahead and put any slop in her, you know, slop in her trough, or it's going to go ahead and add a, you know, add an inch to her vibrator. I really don't. Or, you know, another mini watt here to, you know, to vibrate its batteries. I don't see how it does it or her any good to believe that Edgar Steele is guilty here. I don't. Never thought he was guilty at all. Essentially, it was just Zog Babylon doing whatever the hell it wanted to do. And folks, I'm not going to live in fear. I'm nearly 54 years old. Essentially, I have nothing. Essentially, you know, I have nothing but hatred and contempt. I was talking to Pastor John Britton. I'm looking at this here, and Edgar Steele still doesn't seem to get it. Of all the people in the Bowel Movement who've been essentially set up by Zog, I think I'm about the only one who simply told the judge and the rest to fuck off. To fuck off. You go ahead, and essentially I tell them right now. Well, folks, you can do whatever the hell you want to me and my family, but essentially what it does is make sure that you have no right at all to go ahead and bitch. Well, essentially, you know, don't be bitching here when somebody goes ahead and grabs your children and tortures them to testify against you that you molested them here, and then we go ahead and just skin you alive. Don't be whining that you're going to go ahead and get what you dished out. That's what I love about these fake Christian identity, you know, and these rest of these Zog bots and tars in the Bowel Movement. Essentially, they work for Zog. They go ahead and support Zog, and so do regime criminals. Well, folks, look, you worthless bastards, don't be bitching. When society falls apart, there's no need for you parasites. Eventually, when society falls apart, you know, just like Edgar Steele, you know, that, or not Edgar Steele, but Edmund Burke said that no society will long tolerate what's called the oligarchy of the base. The French Revolution had its reign of terror, but eventually, those who went and started this reign of terror, like Robespierre, died on the guillotine during this reign of terror. They went ahead, and the very end of this revolution is not going to be freedom or prosperity. I mean, anybody, even if you didn't believe in the Great Tribulation, you should be able to understand is that for every Hitler, you end up having a Pol Pot and a Napoleon and a Stalin and a Mao Zedong. And what they end up doing is they end up, well, pretty well getting rid of all the critters that don't belong and setting up over a homogenous society of poor people an absolute military dictatorship. So, folks, this revolution that people are talking about, Occupy Wall Street, the Tea Party, whatever, it's not going to be a wonderful thing for where Whiggers are going to go ahead and get plenty of transfer payments or anything like that. Essentially, what's going to be is that the old Whiggers are going to go ahead and die off. They're not going to, you know, if they are lived, they're going to be going ahead and scrounging through trash cans. And essentially, you know, that's the only salvation here, is that essentially 90% of the Whiggers and all the Mazers and Muds and, you know, regime criminals and the rest die in this great tribulation. But, you know, folks, if there wasn't a great tribulation, it was just simply another revolution, a pretty well a collapse of empire, that's what's going to happen. There's not going to go ahead, you know, the only solution here is to go ahead and make sure that in this civil war, which is now being waged right now, taking people like Edgar Steele and, you know, pretty well my grandchildren, and pretty well tearing them apart here. But folks, once this revolution, once the civil war starts getting into action here, there's not going to be no going back here, and there's going to be some rather hard men. And folks, if you don't believe in Christian identity, do believe that essentially a pig will tell you anything he wants as long as you're going ahead and skinning him alive, making him eat his nuts. There's nothing wrong with exterminating someone who's gone ahead and done wrong to you. Nothing wrong with enslaving somebody who's gone ahead and made you into a wage and tax slave. Nothing wrong with killing their kids. Nothing wrong with exterminating 666 Whiggers for the misdoings of a Jew or a regime criminal who enabled that Jew. There is no political problem that cannot be solved by killing millions of Whiggers and all the Mamzers and Jews. No political problem that cannot be solved by violence, by political violence. And folks, there's nobody I see, there's no noble barbarians who are going to go ahead and come and rescue us from the stupidity and apathy that we've gone ahead and brought down on ourselves. I got to go ahead and laugh about Whiggers. Whiggers and, you know, Mamzers and Jupes being sent over to a foreign country, and then when they get killed, being brought in secrecy, and then their bodies tossed onto a trash pile, into a landfill, along with the old newspapers, along with the bio, with the aborted fetuses, along with the, AIDS-infected blood, along with the needles and medical waste. I got to laugh at a Whigger Jupe going ahead and essentially being disposed of in a landfill. And then taken for 2 years for the Air Force to figure out, that ain't right. Well, I think it's totally right. I think pretty well any Zog Jupe went ahead and supported that. I think his carcass here should be eaten by the worms in a freaking landfill. I think it's well deserved. You were just nothing more than a dog who went ahead and served dog people or dog Jews, and essentially now your cadaver is being eaten by a worm in a landfill, and your stupid Whigger populace, you know, your parents and the rest here, essentially they probably didn't give a shit one way or the other. They just smile like pussies over it because they want to go ahead and supposedly get something for the anguish. No, Whigger, you went ahead and you supported evil. Well, guess what? You deserve what the hell you get here. So I got to laugh about idiots. You know, Zog Jupes being buried in a landfill. I think that sort of makes, you know, it's another day, it's another moment that makes my golden, you know, day. Just like when I was locked up in the nut house, I heard that Trader Glenn Miller's last non-faggot surviving male spawn had gone ahead and killed a good Samaritan and been killed by a pig. You know, I shoot at the pig. Folks, why are you not surprised that evil happens to evil people eventually? And eventually that what goes around does come around? Folks, there is justice. And sometimes it happens. And it's going to end up happening in this great tribulation. You are going to get what you deserve. So, folks, I think that's going to be the last section, unless I see something that I need to comment. So, folks, well, hail victory. May Yahweh bless you who are of Christian Israel. Good night.
The Jews are laid low on Sogling neck, we stomp our boots to stamp out Castle. White mango, we vote ho on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White mango, civil war ho on the court of logs, let red blood flow. The regime must only love its great, hi-yi-yo-ho. The love of God our only need, hi-yi-yo-ho. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse logs, let red blood flow. We'll conquer for our cause is right, hi-yi-yo-ho. Our sons won't have to go and fight, hi-yi-yo-ho. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow.